Welcome to DL Gaming. I'm Bobby.
I'm Emilio.
And joining us today is Nick.
Blah, 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 blah. Hey, guys.
What's up, man? He calls me every episode, or he messages me every week, and he's like, hey, man, can I come on and talk about astrology? Hey, man, can I come on and talk about... I was making that up, but yeah, every week
it's astrology. Let's get into that
because he has to come up with something to talk about. So I'm like, you know what? Just come on for the whole show. If the people hate you, they'll let you know. They'll do the thumbs down, and we'll have to execute you. But welcome and thank you. And for those who don't know, Nick is my nephew.
All right, joining us remotely, we should say, yeah, not here on the couch. Yeah. But pretty soon, if you're watching, you'll notice we have a slightly different layout today. And pretty soon, we're going to have it so we can have people joining us with video.
Oh.
So people who call in, you can show your beautiful face.
The little head's just going to pop up?
It's not going to be that slick.
Yeah,
we're still working on it, but soon.
Also, video watchers, let us know what you need to think about the new borders. I think we're better off with a bigger browser window and bigger heads, but we'll see. See what you guys think.
It needs some adjustment. It's a bit of a test run. Anyway, so this was a wild week. The plan was to play Ghostbusters, the video game remastered, which I did a little bit, but I played so much Killing Floor 2 this week.
That's good.
Yeah. No, it was good. I mean, and I totally enjoyed it. Yeah. Like, I just had a good time. I think I'm getting burned out on the Halloween event. And when the Christmas event rolls around, I'm like, nah. Unless it's like something amazing, like the Gary Busey Christmas, but yeah. I don't know if they can ever top that. But yeah, I've just been having a blast on that.
Everybody knows what it is by now, right?
Yeah. You know, one thing I will say though, I discovered kind of a new part of this game. I mean, it's Killing Floor 2. It's a wave survival game. It's like nothing super special, but I really enjoy it. And it's got kind of that old school feel to older games, but they have these objective maps, which I've known about, but never really played. So I started messing around with those, and they have those are, instead of just surviving the waves, they're go here, defend this area, run over here, switch that. And like, there's no end of the wave. They just keep coming. Yeah. Same. Well, they do have some different maps, but also they have, like guard the objective. You have a objective that's moving along a path. It's kind of like a payload thing. Okay. But it moves no matter what, if you're there or not. But it can take damage and be destroyed. Kind of like that Deep Rock map we were talking about.
Yeah.
So it's kind of new checking that out. And some of the maps are really outstanding. I mean, I've played so much of this game and still I'm like discovering some new maps.
Dude, it's good to see that all these video games are catching up to TF2 12 years ago or whatever it was.
Yeah, what's with all the payload?
It's a great... In TF2, it's my favorite
really good.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's just natural that other games pick it up, but why did it take them so long?
Yeah, I don't know. Because what it does is it brings, usually you have like a front line, like, you know, people run at each other, they kill each other. And there's usually some point in the map where that reaches ahead, you know, like where that's like most intense. But with Payload, it's like everybody
always
has an objective
there,
to go
time.
Right there. Yeah.
Yeah. And the flanking positions are always changing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's just like a moving front. Nick, you ever play Killing Floor 2?
I've played Killing Floor 2. I played the Payload and TF2. I've also played Payload and Overwatch.
And who does it best?
The TF2 probably does it best. The original is the best, in my opinion.
Dude, it's ridiculous.
It's
not
old, but yeah.
Dude, and it's a little broken. I got to say, it's a little broken that it gives you ammo and health, because when you sit a heavy right on top, he never has to let off the fire button. Mm-hmm. I mean, he could get sniped real easy.
Yeah, but TF2 turns into a football game usually. Like, you have to work out a plan. You all rush it. You execute. If it works, great. You broke the line.
We're going to end up playing TF2 next week, aren't
we? God, that's a great game.
It's such a good game.
it's so good.
I remember saying this back then, or was it PC Gamer? I'm either quoting myself or PC Gamer. Same clout. You know, mm-hmm. as far as PC gaming media goes. But I said, I'm pretty sure somebody said, TF2 is PC gaming at the time. And
yeah, I could see that.
And, you know, that's a lofty title to have to, like, shrug off.
Well, I mean, it's hanging in there. A lot of people still play this game. Came out in, like, 2007, I want to say. Like, it's been around for a very long time, maybe 06.
Dude, I saw a meme where, I guess it's pre-meme, this is like a GIF file, where like a spy would spray paint like a sexy anime girl and then backstab people, mm-hmm. and it was hilarious. But yeah. then I did it, and it 100% works, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, you could do it all day.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Like, here's the trick that I think they got rid of, though. They made a spray of what looked like an actual character in the game. So they like, spray a spy, engineer. Yeah, and snipers would try to shoot it, and then the spy would sneak up behind him and stab him. Because when you spray it from that far away, it kind of looks like it's actually somebody, except they're not yeah. moving. But, you know, I mean, TF2 is such a, like, fast-paced twitch shooter, so you're really just snapping off on anything you see.
People would be spraying doors and, like, hallways, and mm-hmm. people just walk into the wall.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, good sprays stuff. Were fun.
Yep.
What classes did you guys play when you guys played TF2? Like, what was your thing?
Well, if we played together, it was definitely heavy and medic.
Heavy and medic.
Bobby yeah. was a very good medic.
Still am.
And I, whoa, dude. And I was just a mediocre heavy, but with a great medic, like,
you can do some wonders.
You're nigh unstoppable.
Yeah, if you're on comms with a medic and you're just, like, got a pocket healer, like, you yeah. can just Uber and break any line. Like, it's...
And the only problem we would ever have, it wasn't really a problem, but sometimes you feel like, oh, Kritzkrieg is the way to go here. And then as soon as you go Kritzkrieg, it feels like you need an Uber. Mm-hmm. And then when you play Uber, it feels like you need a Kritzkrieg.
Yeah.
So, there was always that, like, dilemma of which one we're going to go.
Yeah. And I, for the most part, I definitely prefer Uber over Kritzkrieg. I'm old school. Like, I don't know. Like, I played TF2 before they started throwing in all these zany weapons.
Yeah.
And I still always prefer the weapons. The original weapons. I really wish I could figure out the demo, man. Never got good. And people just, that's like the driller in Deep Rock. Like, that's like the highest skill level, I think. Yeah. Like,
and highest payoff.
Yeah. You can yeah. just, if you're good at that class, it's a high skill ceiling, but if you're good at it, like, you can do some pretty incredible stuff.
I had an obsession about the Islander, which is,
The melee weapon.
The melee weapon with the demo man. And, you know, it's a play on Highlander. So you have exactly, what do you call it? Forget his name. The guy from Braveheart. I forget the guy's name. But you have that sword. And it starts off really weak. But every person you kill, you take their head off. And then you gain health and speed. And something else for every head you get to a maximum of 9. If you get to 9 heads, you basically become a superhero. You can jump over whatever you want. You're super fucking fast, yeah. tons of health, and you can just continue to take heads all the time. And so, you know, he fucking holds up heads and he's yelling shit about them and throwing them on the ground. But it's so hard to get 9 heads. Think yeah. about, because it can't crit at all. So, you basically have to get really lucky on the first 2 or 3. And then once you're about there, then you can start gaining abilities. But yeah, yeah. I was obsessed, dude.
He's got a couple of melee weapons now.
Oh yeah. He's got a ton. Probably more than he has grenade launchers.
Yeah. Team Fortress 2, man.
Not even on the list.
Not even on the
list. Took up the top spot.
All right, well, let me talk about Ghostbusters real quick, because I didn't really play too much of this, because I wasn't really getting into it. This was free on the Epic Game Store a week ago. It might still be. Nope, it is not. This is the remastered version. I actually own the original version on Steam, which I tried to play once and lost interest.
From when?
2008.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not on Steam. It's now on Epic. So it feels like a very generic console game to me. The graphics are pretty good, especially for 2008. You know, they got the new 4K textures in this remastered version. But it feels very much like they're just throwing ghosts at you. You zap them. Here's just some arbitrary objective you got to go do. But what's really cool about this game is it brings back almost the entire old cast. You got Dan Aykroyd. You got Harold Ramis. You got Ernie Hudson. You got the other Ghostbuster, Peter Venkman, Bill Murray. he's there. Annie Potts as the secretary.
Janine. So impressed that you know the black guy's name, but not Bill Murray's. Just, that was really interesting.
That's what happens, man. I blank on the most obvious things. But they all come back, except I think the only person that wouldn't come back was, Tully, Rick Moranis. Because, you know, he was kind of off the grid for a very long time.
But he came back for a cell phone commercial.
Yeah, and then he got punched, and now he's hiding again, dude.
Like, who punched him?
You didn't hear about that?
No.
You didn't hear?
No.
He's walking down the street in New York, and so, there's like a video of it. Let's not watch it, because it's so bad. It's just randomly? Just some asshole in New York was just like, you're Rick Moranis, and just decked him.
Jeez.
Yeah, dude.
Well, the guy that punched him didn't even know he was Rick Moranis. He just ran up to him and punched him. Like, he was just like, there was some stuff going on down the street. Like, there was like protests or something. And then he just ran up and punched him.
What's he got to be? He's got to be 60, right?
Yeah, he's got to be pretty old.
Because a punch and then a concrete can, you know, pretty much end a 60-year-old.
Yeah. Oh, my God, dude. That is unfortunate.
And he loves New York, too. Just not
the guy who punched him.
Yeah, yeah. Just not Rick Moranis.
Well, yeah. Anyway, that was sad. But
we have Michael Cera now. We can get rid of Rick Moranis. I feel like
I don't think so.
They feel the same role.
No.
What?
I don't think anybody feels the shoes of Rick Moranis.
Oh man, you and your old stuff.
Right. So yeah, I mean, the Ghostbusters was cool because of that reason, because it brings back, and not only does it bring back all the characters, and they're doing the voice acting, but they're playing all the hits. Like, you start out the game and your first mission is to go to that same hotel that you started out in Ghostbusters 1, you know, where they meet Slimer, right? Yeah, where they meet Slimer. And you're kind of playing through the same thing. Venkman gets slimed, but you got to capture this like fishing ghost. And, you know, the game's not too challenging. It's very like a console game. But yeah. And then after that, you go fight the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, or you chase him. And it's just, they're bringing back like all, they're recycling a lot of the old material. And it's kind of fun to re-experience this stuff, you know, because you do that with a lot of games, like the Lego games. Like, I'm not getting anything new here, but it's fun to go through the Harry Potter.
You're playing
story.
The scenes, mm-hmm. which is what's important. And the fun scenes, not the yeah. shitty scenes.
You're getting to re-experience something that you really like.
There are Lego scenes of like the crying scenes where they're like, you know, oh, this was a really emotional scene where, no, it's always the action and the cool parts are the funny parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you remember the Lego scene in the Lord of the Rings game where what's his name gets shot with arrows by the orcs?
Oh.
And like, instead of arrows, it's like a banana, but it's still the audio from the movie.
Oh, that's funny. And they're stuck in his chest?
God, yeah, they're stuck in his chest. Like, that's in the game.
Boromir.
Boromir gets shot, and it's like, the orc shoots a banana, and it gets stuck in his chest, and he's like, ah! It's like, like the audio from the movie, so it's so graphic, but it's so sad.
Wow.
No, they're using arrows. Did you just make up this entire thing, dude?
No, watch. He's going to shoot a banana.
Oh,
shooting a broom now.
Yeah. Oh, he keeps pulling. So he pulled out an arrow, and now he just got shot by a broom. I assume he's going to pull that out.
Yeah, let's get some audio here.
The Orakai. Oh, he's pulling out the banana. Oh. That's the killing blow, dude. Because bananas are soft. You have to shoot that super hard to kill somebody in the heart.
Just shot with a banana. Oh, my God.
I'm just thinking about the ballistic logistics of banana heart shots.
Yeah. How many people a year die from a banana?
Ooh, it's got to be 10.
10. Sounds about right. And now he shoot a chicken at him, and the chicken laid an egg. Oh, my God.
Dude, that was the greatest scene I've ever seen in Legos, dude. Thank you for that. I gotta go pee.
All right.
First one of many.
You know, I was thinking as I was playing this game, like, it is cool that, obviously I didn't enjoy the game too much, but it is kind of cool re-experiencing this as a, re-experiencing Ghostbusters as a video game. And I was thinking about, like, novelizations of books. Have you guys ever seen a movie? And then it was super popular, and then they came out with a novelization and then gone and read that, even though you've totally seen the movie and the book is exactly like the movie.
My only experience in that is The Road. Did you read The Road?
No, wait, I'm familiar with the movie. That came out in like 2009 or something.
Yeah, it's the guy that plays Aragorn of all people. Yeah,
Viggo Mortensen.
Yeah, and the weirdest thing about the book is it has no punctuation.
None at all?
None. So everything's broken in like weird, like weird, like speech break. Like spacing, as weird as it sounds, but there's like no punctuation. It's very weird.
That sounds hard to read. So this book came out after the movie.
I believe it came out before the movie, and the movie's based off of the book.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, and that happens a lot. But what I'm talking about is the only example I can think of. Well, Star Wars did this. Like Star Wars, the movie came out, and then there were books written like about A New Hope and Return of the Jedi and The Empire Strikes Back. And I read those, and they're just like any other book, but it's like just the movie in print, you know, and there's dialogue. And you know what else I read was Stargate. That movie was pretty big back in like 95, 94 when it came out. And then they made a novelization of it. And I read that, and it was exactly like the movie, like exactly like nothing new happens in the book that happens in the movie. And it's just, I don't know, it seems kind of pointless, but for some weird reason, it's enjoyable to like relive the story in a book as opposed to watching it again as a movie. And that's kind of like what it is with video games, I guess. Of course, I read last year, I was talking about how I read XXX2, The Return of Xander Cage, and I've never seen that movie,
oh,
though.
God, why would you read that?
Because I saw it. I'm like, that exists? Well, I got to read that, you know? And it was insane, dude. Like, it was, I've never read a book like that. It was like children's literature, but for adults. It was, there's a guy, I kind of don't even want to watch the movie now because I feel like it's a better story to tell people I read that book and never saw the movie. But I'm very curious if anyone's seen the movie here or in chat, let me know. Is there the Asian guy in the movie whose only ability and contribution to the team is the ability to party?
No.
Have you seen XXX2, Return of Xander Cage?
Oh, shit. I don't know, man.
Okay. Because in the book, there's a whole thing where he's assembling his team, right? Like they pull Vin Diesel out of retirement, you know, even though he swore it off. They pull him out of retirement, and he's like, all right, but I'm using my guys. And then he goes around, and he's assembling his team. And, like, he picks up some chick in Africa who's, like, a really good sniper. Cool. I get it. They pick up this crazy, like, Australian guy who's, like, a good getaway driver. Got to have one of those. Then they pick up this Asian dude who's the only thing he adds to it is just he's the life of the party. He knows how to party. And you're like, that's stupid. Like, that's so dumb.
Why?
That's ridiculous.
That's my thing that I add to everything. But what I add to this podcast.
Okay.
What are you picking on me?
If you're trying to save the world, that's not really a valuable skill.
It's great for morale.
Maybe. But here's the thing. In the book, it totally comes in handy because they're in a nightclub, some random nightclub. They crash onto a beach, roll into like a rave that's going on in a village, and they get spotted by the bad guys. So Asian dude, life of the party, gets up on stage, starts emceeing, creates a distraction so that they can move without being detected.
Boom.
Yeah. So apparently it was a good call.
It is a good call. By the way, XXX1, there's a scene in that movie where Chad and I bring it up. We used to bring it up all the time. Where they're in some sort of ice nightclub.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. And then the guy sits down, and there's just like hot chicks sitting on the other side. Mm-hmm. And he goes, bitches, come. It's like, if it were only that easy, bitches, come. And they all just come over and start warming them up because they're in an ice fucking castle.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, we're talking about Vin Diesel again, dude. And if you don't know what we're talking about, fucking go to Vin Diesel fucking Street Sharks, dude. That's all you need to know.
Look at that nipple tat.
Yeah, it's pretty sexy.
I don't know about that.
Streak Sharks, Vin Diesel.
Okay. All right. All right. You look like you got a lot to talk about.
It's not a lot, but let's get into it. Let's talk about some stuff that's going to come out this month. Godfall is going to come out. It is a game by Gearbox Studios, and it's a slasher looter. So we've come full circle, Bobby, is what we've done. So somebody took Diablo and put it into a shooter that was first person, and that was Borderlands, right? And then we had the looter shooters, which is basically what Borderlands is, and that kind of blew up. And now we've gone back to slashing and looting, which is basically Diablo, but we're doing it in a third-person perspective as opposed to that isometric.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's from Gearbox, so I know that they know how to do loot. But it's, you know, this is a melee game, and it's like a dungeon crawler thing. But what's weird about it is they went crazy with the color, man. They went with like there's some Borderland DLCs that use color like this, but there's nothing dark or dank about this. It's just like, it's almost like you're fighting on Pandora the whole time. Pandora. That's funny that I said that because that's it. But I meant Pandora, the movie. Just everything's glowing.
From Avatar.
Purples and pinks. And there's definitely darkness, but I don't know. I don't know if I like the aesthetic. I like the graphics. The color palette is, I don't know, maybe they just did it to stand out. But anyway, I love looter anything. You know, if I get a Diablo in third person, I would enjoy that far more than a top down. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
I feel like there's more you can do in a third-person action slashing game, hack and slash game.
Well, when you do something, it definitely feels like you're doing more.
Yeah, it's a little more interactive than just clicking on the bad guys.
Yeah,
yeah. Definitely. I mean, this you have to like land combos, block, parry. There's a lot more to do to make it a little more engaging. The moment-to-moment gameplay. So this game, Godfall, is not out yet, but do we have a release date?
Comes out like the 12th or something.
Okay, so pretty soon, and it's going to be on Epic.
Yeah, so that's pretty much, I mean, unless this gets lambasted, if this is like 80 or better, it's bought for sure.
Okay.
And going off of that, I just finished Love, Guns, and Tentacles, which took me fucking forever. That's the Borderlands 3 DLC that's like Lovecraftian and a bunch of tentacles. There's giant tentacles around the entire level, all the levels and everything that you're doing. It was good. I really liked the first part of it more than the last half. I think developers in general kind of front load everything because there's no guarantee people are going to finish every game. You know what I mean? You put your best foot forward, I feel mm-hmm. like. Yeah. And, you know, the first area had me cracking up, man. It's like all these people that live on this planet that's consumed by this curse. And so they all have their weird. In most games, you go up and talk to the people on the street and it doesn't matter. In this one, they were almost 100% hilarious. There was just funny things. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just kind of trails off and goes into old Borderlands stuff, which is fun because it's all new aesthetics, you know? Yeah. Well, overall,
I never played through an entire Borderlands DLC. Now that I think about it,
I'm gonna pick up the other one just because, like, they're only $15, and it's definitely worth the 3 hours you get out of it. 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? At the end of the day, and I like this one.
I forgot how recent Guns, Love, and Tentacles were. March 26th.
I believe there's been two since then, dude.
Now they're really cranking.
For sure, there's been one.
That sounds about right for Gearbox, so just cranking out that DLC.
Nick, where are you at on Borderlands games?
I liked them for a very long time. I'm going to sound like a loner here. I just didn't have anybody to play with.
Aw, we've always been here from day one, dude. DLG started right about when you got your first pube.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. That's when it started. I like them a lot. I just feel like there's a moment. I feel my one complaint about the game, because I love the aesthetic, I love the world, I love the world building. My one problem with it is that the difficulty spikes are very odd. It's almost like I compare it to a set of stairs where it's like plateau, extremely hard, plateau, and it just keeps doing that.
I'm definitely not going to defend the game. I'll try to explain what I think that is. And that's definitely there, dude. You'll play for an hour, 2 hours, not even close to death. And then all of a sudden you can't beat the boss for several attempts. I think that's how they get the grindiness. You know, they build in the grindiness. They want you to go play that last level over until you get that orange legendary gun that's going to kill the boss or whatever. But, it's just one of those mechanics that makes you go back. Or maybe you got lucky and got that orange gun on the way there and you kill him in the first shot. That happens too. Hmm. But, I don't know. I have a special place in my heart for Borderlands game. I love them. Even if they're bad, I like them.
Think we're getting a Borderlands 4 anytime soon?
No, I don't think so. They're making a lot of money off of this still. Mm-hmm. What else is coming out? Oh, no, this is out. It's called Superliminal. Bobby, I think you saw this, right? That puzzle game?
Yeah, this was posted in Discord.
Yeah, so it's a game that uses forced perspective a lot. And so you pick up things and get behind them, and it's all about your perspective and how they fit into the background, and how that affects their size as well. I remember playing Senua's Sacrifice. There was a puzzle that had to do with this, where you had to like line up the post just right so it had the right Viking rune written between the trees. And I thought that was really inventive. I didn't think that somebody was going to make an entire game out of it. But, you know, if you make it clever enough and interesting enough, yeah, I believe that you could pull a game off like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the trailer's really good.
Yeah.
I like the look of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like puzzle games in general. This is 1823 Canadian. It's on sale right now for 20% off. So
$14.99.
Is this the game where you can pull like a chess piece backwards and it gets bigger and stuff like that? Is that the game?
Yeah, basically, that's in the video. So you look at, there's like a sculpture in the background and a sculpture in the foreground, and the sculpture in the background is huge. But then if you look at them together, it's a chess piece, and then you just pick it up because it fits in your hand. It's a trip. The whole thing's a trip. Hopefully they, it says very positive. What's the percentage? 93%. People are enjoying this.
It's out of 1,000 people.
Yeah. Bobby, I was going to buy you this and send it to you. And then I saw it was $14.99. I said, he is not worth it.
It is a little, like $14.99 is a little on the high end. Yeah. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
I think I'll buy it for Leslie because Leslie has this, like, this gameplay. Just like almost not even system like style where she's just like she immediately knows if she's gonna like a game or not. Mm-hmm. And puzzle games are her thing. But the thing that she played at probably the most is Breath of the Wild, but this will probably get her going for a while as well.
And you know what, if she doesn't like it, dude, you go, if it's under 2 hours, you can return it. Nick, are you drinking with me or am I drinking alone over here?
I can drink if you want.
Yeah, go grab a fucking, take a shot. Catch up.
All right, I'm going to get a Buffalo Trace. I'll be right back. If I had video, I'd show proof.
I love Buffalo Trace. So Hades is the only video game that I played this week. It's almost the only entertainment that I was entertained with this week. I just want to talk about a little bit that Mini beat it really quick, and I feel like he didn't. That he fucked up by beating it so fast because like I'm unearthing things that every run you get a little bit, but every once in a while you get a lot, and I'm starting to see. So the whole idea is you're this character and you want to get out of Hades, and you're Hades' son, and all the gods of Olympus want you to come join them, and you die over and over trying to get out of Hades. Because Hades is built as a prison and you're not supposed to get out of there. So they give you boons and those are like your buffs. And each one, you know, like Thor is AOE damage, or Aphrodite is you weaken them so they get less strong and take more damage, and so on and so on. Zeus is lightning damage. And it goes on and on. But now I'm starting to experience combo boons where, like, you go into a room and when you go in, Poseidon and Aphrodite have a whole conversation about your progress and what's going on. And then you get a sense of what their relationship is like from that little cartoon or whatever. And then you go into the room and then you get a combo boon that has a little bit of her and a little bit of him. And it's super rare, but it happens, and it's pretty cool. And I'm really wondering how many of these combo boons there are. And I like the whole thing from top to the bottom.
So your boon is changing every time you go into a new room?
No. The boon that I get is a combination of two boons that I would have got any some other way, maybe. You know, it's a roguelike.
Yeah.
So you never know what you're going to get.
Okay.
But so, instead of going down this road and that road, I'm going down both roads at the same time with one boon. And you only have so many slots. So in one slot, I have two gods' boons, which is great. And then you could upgrade that thing. I've seen it three times now. I thought I had like 100 runs. I only had like 18 runs so far. But yeah, man, it just keeps delivering and delivering and delivering.
I'll tell you right now, Emilio, you're not even at the tip of the iceberg yet.
It's so just getting deeper and deeper. Have you beat it?
I beat the game. Yeah. I got the true ending, everything. Do you know what the God's blood is used for?
No, I keep seeing like...
Or Titan's blood?
Yeah, there's hints. I think it's to upgrade the weapons that you have, right?
So check this out. Not only do you have boons, right? But each weapon has a sub-weapon. So for example, there's the like Fists of Lucifer.
Yeah, right.
And so each weapon has four aspects, and you use Titan's blood to activate that aspect, and which can completely transform the weapon. Like it makes the shield, one of them is it makes the shield into a shield and bow and arrow and stuff like that. So like it gets crazier.
Damn. And so then, are you enjoying the replay as much as the original playthrough?
No. If you say yes or no, I'm gonna say no. And right. The reason being is that it doesn't have that Binding of Isaac level of replayability.
Yeah.
Where you can be like, you know what? I just want to play a round of Binding of Isaac.
Right.
I think, and the thing that makes it so unique is that Binding of Isaac's story is told through pictures, while the Hades story is told through audio and video.
Like very well done.
Very, very well done. But once you get that final ending, you're like, oh shit. Like, all right, cool. Like, well, I'm done. Like, yeah, right. Of course there's more to see and more to say, but you're like, I did the thing. Like I finished. Why am I going to play some more?
And Binding of Isaac, you never really get that satisfaction, I feel like. And also each run is so fun and so random. Right.
Yeah. Like I want to throw mom's knife into Pin and, you know, kill him I want to get shot. Yeah. It's just Binding of Isaac obviously is more carefree, but Hades, I really like the story. And that's the main difference between the two, that the replayability from Binding of Isaac is that you just want to have fun and stuff. While the main reason why you play Hades is because of the story.
Yeah. Which is neither one is worse. I feel like those are both good reasons to play a game.
Definitely. And that's why I love both.
What are you drinking over there? Trace?
Yeah, Buffalo Trace. There's a shortage in the South. And so I went to a different liquor store.
Shortage of whiskey in the South?
Huh?
There's a shortage of whiskey in the South?
Shortage of Buffalo Trace specifically in the South. And it's 2-bottle limit per customer.
Ooh.
Yeah.
No good.
Only 2 bottles, huh?
Nick, talk about something you have on your list because I got to pee again.
It's almost like I'm a drug addict. I got to go do bumps in the bathroom. All right.
Bobby, you strike me as a person that has possibly listened to System of a Down when you were younger.
Oh, yeah, when I was younger. I didn't know they were still around doing their thing.
Have you heard that there's new songs for the first time in 15 years?
No, I have not.
So they released two new songs, and it's in regards to the current geopolitical actions of Azerbaijan against Armenia. If you don't know, every member of System of a Down is from Armenia.
Mm-hmm.
And I can get into the whole geopolitical conflict of what's going on there, but they made two new songs. I believe one of them is called, I got it right here on Spotify, System of a Down. One's called Protect the Land, and the other one's called Genocidal Humanoids. And they're both, like I said, about what's going on between Azerbaijan and Armenia. I don't know if you know what has occurred. Azerbaijan has launched missiles, mortars, and has dropped bombs from aircraft into Armenian civilian locations. And Armenia agreed to a ceasefire that was proposed by Azerbaijan. However, Azerbaijan also accepted, apparently. However, they continue to shell and rocket the locations. But the main thing that is the problem is this area called the Nagorno-Karabakh, which is like this little valley where this small local group of people that are culturally Armenian. The Azerbaijanis believe that that part of the country of Armenia is theirs. And that is why they're currently launching missiles, bombing, and shelling Armenia. And so it's all a hodgepodge of, do you believe, you know, what is right? If people think it's a religious war. Mm-hmm. And it's so System of a Down broke a 15-year hiatus just to make two new songs about what's going on.
I thought we were having a PC gaming podcast where I come back to geopolitical warfare. And dude, I listened to one of these songs and, just because I was like, oh, it's been a while since I heard Wake Up! Wake Up! But yeah, they're getting way more political. The guy is Armenian, isn't he? The main dude?
Not the guy, all four guys.
Oh, they're all Armenia.
Yeah, they're all Armenia. They all love Armenia, obviously. Yeah. And so they've made two new songs in response to what's going on there.
That explains the aggressive masculinity in their songs, for sure. Yeah. I'll go right off of that and jump into the Gorillaz new music video. It's called the song is called Valley of the Pagans, and it's completely shot in GTA 5. So it's a bit, I thought they were going to like spice it up much. No, it's just pretty much just GTA 5. But you know, when they call your like friends call you and give you missions on your cell phone on the bottom right corner.
Yeah.
It's them singing. Basically, that's all they cut in. So it's very low budget, but the song is fucking super dope. Like when I was like, Bobby, because he always doing show notes while he was in here doing actual technical work. And I was like, hey, Bobby, are you ready? I couldn't hear anything. I'm jamming out to the song. The song is great. I thought, and, I think they could have done a little bit more with it, but, visually, but you know, it's cool that you're shooting a video game.
Well, it looks like they've put the characters in there, not just in the cell phone, but they're driving a car around.
Yeah, but most of it, I mean, it looks great right there.
I mean, dude, honestly, the Gorillaz videos have never really been that. I mean, they're all animated, but
right.
They weren't that crazy to begin with.
Yeah, but at least the whole world is animated. I don't know, dude. It's because maybe I've seen 40 hours of this already. You know what I mean? Like, it's right out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Most of it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're doing some angles and Yeah, I don't know. I have to watch the whole thing.
That's the default cinematic camera.
That's what setting. I'm saying. What
there's I'm saying. There's no angles, Bobby. That is
a camera, Bob.
That is the whole triangle to change camera to cinematic mode.
Can we get some audio? Oh, AI extraordinaire.
YouTube's not going to like
that. Oh, that's right.
I don't think for a music song, probably not the best.
Yeah, we keep getting kicked.
For a music song?
Did you listen to the new song with Elton John in it?
What?
Yeah, the Gorillaz made a song with Elton John.
No, that might be the other song. I guess they came out with a new song.
Well, they came out with a new album. They fully released the album, and it has this song that you're showing, and it also has the one with Elton John, Schoolboy Q, Beck, Lee John.
In one song?
The Elton John song is called The Pink Phantom.
I'm definitely going to check out the album for sure.
17 songs on the album.
I like Gorillaz, man. I think it's good. Aren't they a conglomeration of a bunch of guys from a bunch of different bands that got together and make another band?
I don't know. I don't know very much about a lot of musicians. Mm. They've always been kind of mysterious because they never really showed their faces, and they always had the cartoon characters that are more iconic than them.
Nick, it's good that you're here because I wanted to talk about our D&D session, which I thought was great this week, but I've heard otherwise from other people. I really like that you implemented some puzzle, especially the second puzzle that we dealt with. It felt like the worse we were at the puzzle, the worse our punishment was going to be with enemies. Is that kind of what you were going for?
That is exactly what you what you're saying is exactly true. What I would say is that
you saved our asses. because I feel like we didn't do very well, and it felt like we took on more than we could chew. And because I died or I got knocked out unconscious,
you
had never happened so before. Good. Like it's been really easy. Else. Yeah, and then. And so I think you kind of took some of the bad guys and kind of froze them in space for us so we have to deal with them. So was that true?
Yes. My favorite part of that session, by the way, is the moment where Bobby finally comes to the corner of the engagement. And it's like, you're unconscious. Sniper's got 2 health left. Ree is surrounded. And is about to get hit by a Minotaur, and Bobby's like, it's time to smite, bitch. And then starts beating the fuck out of everything and saving the day.
Balance.
Is that how it felt for you, Bobby?
That's how it always feels.
That's my 9-to-5 right there, baby. That's definitely him in Deep Rock Galactic, I'll tell you that. He'll save the day every time.
Sometimes. Sometimes. But yeah, I mean, I'm having a good time. I do enjoy Paladin, but I am curious about other classes.
Bro, dual class. You got a dual class, man. You can put levels into other things, right? You can be a Paladin Wizard.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah. You can do whatever you want, basically.
Message me, and if you want to retcon some of your previous levels, we can get into that. But if you want to be a Druid Paladin that is also a fighter, you can make that happen. Just because you level up doesn't mean you have to level up in Paladin.
Okay. Class, yeah.
But I do feel like things are getting a little more exciting now that I am leveling up. I've got more of an arsenal of spells to pick from.
Even though you got your armor melted off your body this time.
That keeps happening, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that I unfortunately have to crowbar into the story. And luckily I have, you know, there's multiple spells in the D&D universe, but there's also multiple spells in the Warhammer universe. And obviously the campaign is inspired by Warhammer, if not completely Warhammer, just D&D 5e rules. But no, your armor comes back. It's just called Plague of Rust, and it rusts your armor, but eventually it just comes back.
Yeah. But it does it for the whole battle, right?
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's a 10-minute duration, so unless we go over 100 turns, then mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Nick's pretty cool in that, like, he will let you get as crazy as like your imagination. I mean, obviously he's not going to let you have God powers, but like we had, there had just been a, like a Helm's Deep situation where we defended the, what is that?
Dark Elves. We, you defended the city from the Dark Elves.
No, no, no. There's music playing.
Yeah, it's the D&D music.
Oh, it threw me off. I wanted to search for my dice. We defended a city from an entire invading army. Not just us. We only had a small little smidgen. But at the end, I leveled up, and I just got my fucking summon or like reanimate corpse or whatever it's called. And I was like, Nick, come on, dude. Like, there's thousands of dead bodies. I could probably go out there and find the best shit possible. He's like, yeah, I can't argue with that. I'll give you the best shit possible. And gave me some like crazy ninja dude, a dark elf. And even though that was, he's overpowered, you know, I still got knocked out and, you know, we had a really hard time beating this thing, but like, he's not just going to be like, oh, you can't do that. You know what I mean? If it makes sense, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One thing I will say about D&D, and it's going to sound a little crass. My creativity in the game will only be as creative as you guys want it. And is also based off of your creativity.
So if I said like, I wanted a class where this guy is just the life of the party, that's what he's bringing to the table.
If you want to be an Asian paladin, that is the life of the party. And you can call blue red Dom. You can do whatever you want, man.
All right.
But you can be the life of the party. A lot of people. So believe it or not, I was a paladin. My paladin's name was Raymundo Raimondo. He spoke with a Chicano accent and was the life of the party.
I feel like that's kind of a stretch for me. More of the death of the party, I guess. Geez,
he does not talk, dude. He's like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Terminator 2. He's got three lines and got paid $47 million.
He's the strong stoic type.
Yeah.
What do you do when we play D&D, dude? Are you reading a book? Just be honest. Are you doing school? What are you
doing? Stock exchange.
No, I'm in it. I'm just like, it's hard for me to play and pretend. So it's like, I don't know. I feel silly. Like, I don't know any other way to say
it. We've been doing it for weeks, though.
I know, man. I know. And I can kind of get into it, but it still takes a little bit for me.
Okay.
There are moments where I look at Bobby, like it's Bobby's turn, and I'm just staring at Bobby's fucking video, and I'm like, come on, show some fucking emotion. Show some emotion, please. Hey. And then he comes up and he's like, and his eyebrows raised, he's like, that's right, I did that.
Magnify that by 5 years of podcasting. That's exactly what I've been dealing with, dude. Like, no way he's not going to laugh. And I look over and he's looking at a keyboard. I'm like, God damn it.
He's the guy that you want at the club because you were like, see that guy right there? That guy will kill you. And he was just standing there just like with a water. And you're like, oh, man, I don't want to mess with that guy.
Why is he drinking water at a club? That's,
yeah, never trust those people.
It's unconstitutional.
Hasn't blinked in 45 seconds. Smells like Soylent Green.
Oh, man. I have a lot of shit on my list, apparently.
Yeah.
I finished horse riding. Thank you, Bobby. Thank you, Nick, for recommending that start off point. Again, I will say that like out of the Warhammer 40K universe, I find the humans probably the least interesting. But when you're reading this kind of book, you're like, oh, maybe 40,000 years in the future, this is what it's going to be like. Or no, not that. It's possible that this is one of the many possibilities. Like, maybe humans just become this warfaring race that are puritanical.
Maybe we become a warfaring race.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, yeah. But on a global, galactic scale.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All together. And we start using genetics to make ourselves even greater versions of ourselves. And you're like, I don't know how to explain it. It's a great story. It, you know, one might say that this is great for like teenage reading because it's not very dense. It sticks to the story and there's not a whole lot of like, there's tons of depth.
Okay. But not a lot of big words. Like it's not difficult to read.
No, not that. It's almost like a comic book novel where like it's entertainment stuff the entire time almost. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. It gets into some deep things and philosophical things and some technical things. Not too much, but like this book was made for entertainment and God damn it, I was entertained. You know what I mean? And so much. And then it ends off in like, not even a cliffhanger. It's just kind of like, and you're like, and the music starts playing. I was like, what the fuck? And then you just start the next book and I don't know. It wasn't a cliffhanger. That wouldn't be the right word. It was just an abrupt ending.
It's just like a to be continued.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
That's weird.
And so I started the second book so I read Horus Rising. That's the first one. And I believe the next one is False Gods. So I'm getting into that. And yeah, I'm digging the universe and I'm digging what these dudes are doing. Maybe not why they're doing it, but I get it. And yeah, it's good. I'm going to continue it. So thank you, Nick, for that.
So before we get to the Nick Power Hour of 40K,
that is not happening.
No, of course
we don't have a scheduled time slot for that.
I do have one question, because it's been a while since I've read Horus Rising. Do they mention Magnus at all in that one? Magnus the Red?
Like they mention him only as one of the sons. He's one of the sons of Horus. I mean, of the Emperor, right?
Yes. When you get to his book, we're going to have a little chat.
All right. Sounds good.
Do you understand why humanity is what it is in that future? Like, has any inkling of information been revealed to you why, for example, they hate aliens, why they worship the Emperor as a god?
Why? No, none of that has been revealed. But it makes sense, some of it, but... No.
Yeah, so unfortunately in the Horus books, they don't explain too much of it. A lot of it's from like the comics and some other source material. What I will say is that 10,000 years before or 15,000 years before this time period, there was a giant war with AI, which killed 95% of human existence.
Oh, so that's why it was like pure human stuff.
Exactly. And so that is why technology is not super... you know, looked into except for by the Mechanicus, aka Bobby's race.
Which is weird because they use the Mechanicus, you know what I mean?
Yeah. The only reason why they're good with technology is because there's a goddamn God in
Let's
Mars.
Not get into it. Let's not get into it.
Yeah, no, of course. Of course
we'll circle back once I read that or I listen to that stuff.
What I will say that's on my list that'll connect with that though, is are you excited for Darktide?
What is Darktide?
So you know what Vermintide is, right?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure Bobby knows what Vermintide is as well, right? You played it?
Oh yeah.
So Darktide is being released this year.
It's 2021.
Next year. Sorry, 2021, and it is Vermintide, but set in 40K.
Ooh,
we talked about this, didn't we? It's the human race, but it's a specific subset of the humans.
Yeah, you're the Astra Militarum, so you're Emilio's favorite humans. You're like the normal ass fucking bootsy dude.
Oh yeah, I remember.
And a little bit more info came out about it. You're facing the forces of chaos. There's going to be DLCs for other races, but essentially, from what people have said, as far as like from the development group, the game is going to be super close to Vermintide and like Left 4 Dead and stuff, but essentially it's just going to have a Warhammer 40K skin on it. And the idea is if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
For the record, Emilio went to pee for the third time. I saw him. Everyone counting at home. I know. I'm talking to our listeners.
I need a sound effect for that because he's not even announcing it anymore, and people don't know. So, like, I need like a whiz sound effect. I'll try to find one.
Okay.
You got to get the Shaggy run from Scooby Doo. You know the.
That's kind of how he leaves the room. But this game is being made by Fat Shark, and they did the Vermintide games. They did the War of the Roses. They did, some other games that I was a fan of. But I like them as a developer. They've had some games that I've really enjoyed.
When this game comes out, Bobby, we're going to replace all of our D&D sessions with this game. It's going to be me, you, Sniper, and Emilio, and we're just going to play this game until we beat it, and then we'll resume D&D.
Sounds fun. I wish I liked the other one more. What was the other Warhammer 40K game that was like Left 4 Dead? You played as the humans.
Space Hulk. Yeah, Space Hulk.
Deathwing.
Yeah, Deathwing. Yeah. So the chapter's called Deathwing. You're Space Hulks, and you fight. Yeah, that game's not polished. It's a good game, but it's one of those games where it's just like, is there any sense of accomplishment?
Yeah, there really isn't. I think that's what did it for me. Like, I didn't feel like I wasn't like motivated to keep going and play more rounds in that. But Vermintide, like, I loved that game. I thought that game was fantastic. Is that our
not enough to play the sequel?
Because Vermintide 2 is even better. That's really the sound.
Is it even? I mean, I don't know, man. It seemed like more of the same. But at some point, I'll check out Vermintide 2. I'm sure I will.
It's more of the same, but it's also more of the new. As weird as that sounds,
it's like Left 4 Dead 2, kind of just a polished version, a few more things added.
Exactly. So you get two more enemy races, which is you get the Forces of Chaos, and then you get the Beastmen. So not only bosses change, your everyday enemies change, you also get levels where it's all three of the enemy groups. So you have different tactics.
The only thing about the first one, and they may have fixed this, but the crafting system was a little too difficult. When I figured out I'm going to have to do that to get the better weapons, that's going to take forever, dude. I don't want to do that. It's going to be super grindy. I'm just going to have to do easy. Because what happens when they do that is you realize, all right, the best way to accomplish this is to play easy missions over and over again. And then that's no fun. You're not having fun, but you're progressing faster. That's a problem that these games run into, is where the most progress you can make is by doing the most boring thing. So I don't know. I think they fixed that though. I think I remember reading that they had overhauled the crafting system, because I played that right when it came out, the first Vermintide, and I'm sure the second one has done something different.
I would be down for a Vermintide 2 game night just for you to taste it. And if you don't like it, you obviously can return it. But once again, it's one of those games you got to have friends to play. Like, if you play by yourself or you play with randos, there's always that scenario where one rando is level 187 and has the nuke launcher machine gun. Yeah. And you're just walking through the thing because he's got to kill one more rattling gunner to unlock the super underwear, you know? And so it's just not fun when you play with that kind of person.
I want super underwear.
Super underwear. All right, Amelia, you want to talk a little bit more about all that stuff you got there?
It looks like a lot. It's not that much, man. The Joe Rogan Experience. Everybody knows that I listen to it. I've listened to it some episode one, dude. The reason I got into it was he was on a couple of morning shows or whatever that I listened to on terrestrial radio before podcasts. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ooh, this guy's talking about a bunch of shit that I like. He's talking about psychedelics, and he's talking about extra dimensions and shit like that. And I'm like, this is my guy right here, because he's not a hippie. It's almost he's the opposite. He's a meathead workout dude that's a hippie. It's almost like he's a contradiction. And so I've listened since episode one, and here we are at where are we at?
1560.
Yeah, there you go. 1560. And you know, there's been some like dips, and it's gotten good and bad and all this stuff. And I stopped listening to every episode a long time ago. Once I realized, I was like, oh, I'm only going to listen to things I can learn something from, because I literally know everything Joe's going to say before he says it. And that's not a fault because of him. I've listened to his voice for thousands of hours. I know all of his opinions, except for the ones that have changed, and he has changed his opinions on some things over the years. But like, I don't need to listen to him talk to buddies, because they're just going to shoot the shit, and like, I know exactly how it's going to go. And that was really brought to light one time when I was like, dude, to my coworker that was in my truck with me, you should listen to Joe Rogan. I'm going to put it on. And then I was pausing it and like explaining to him why he was saying things. And then as soon as I unpause it, Rogan would explain why he was saying things. And he's like, dude, like, you know why he's saying it. And I was like, yeah, fuck. I don't know. I'm ruining the whole experience. But lately, it's been on a fucking tear of really good episodes where it took me forever to finish the Horus Heresy because I had no spare time. I usually, okay, let's say out of like last year, out of every four Rogan episodes, I listen to one, maybe two. Just, you know, interesting topics or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I am like, okay, so Mike Barry, Baker. I put this list on here for a reason. Mike Baker is the former head of the CIA. Interesting. Steve Rinella, he's a hunter. He's one of my favorite guests. He's been on like eight times. He's a good guy. Tristan Harris, that's the guy from the social dilemma.
Dilemma, yep.
Yep. And so he goes on there. You know, it's a 3-hour podcast, so he goes into more in depth about the whole same thing. Gad Saad, he's a another one of my favorite guests. He is a evolutionary psychologist. So, you know, throughout the ages of evolution, what were the contributing factors to mental state and why that is. And, you know, really interesting early on. And now he's just like a really good guy to listen to. Glenn Greenwald is like a really left-leaning a reporter, and you know, recently Joe has been leaning more right when he originally started off way left. So it's interesting to have another left guy on there. So and then we have Alex Jones and Tim Dillon. That was during election night to see who was going to win. Obviously, we didn't have a winner then, we do now. Was that what that one is? No, that's just Alex Jones and Tim Dillon.
Yeah. So that was 2 days before the election. And then it was Joe, Tim Dillon, and that political guy, the guy that almost called the race exactly.
Yeah. Off by one point, dude.
Wait, what do you mean 1 point? Like one electoral vote?
One electoral vote.
Is that possible? Well, I guess it is.
Yeah. But He called it like down to the number. Kanye West is a giant guy. Matthew McConaughey, Maynard James Keenan. He's a guy from Tool. He's the main singer from Tool. I skipped him just because I've heard him a few times.
Wow, you!
I fucked up,
dude. That guy's my hero. Not really, but he's the lead singer of my favorite band. He's one of those kind of people that is kind of like Joe, where they make fun of someone if they like him.
No, listen, he's been on four times. This is the fourth time. So I skipped that. But to go this many times in a row, like, I don't think it has anything to do with the Spotify deal. It might be a good run. I thought these were all very good. Anyway.
I do have a listener question for you, though, because not only am I a guest, but I'm also a listener.
Sure.
I have two questions about the Joe Rogan Experience for you. Who is your guest that if you see that's going to be on the show, you're like instantly got to listen to it?
Probably like an astrophysicist. Probably like who's a black guy? Yeah, Neil. Neil, I like Neil, but I feel like he dumbs things down a little too much for the common man. Who's the British guy? I like him a lot too. Anyway, astrophysicist. Like, if I see anything in astrophysiology, I almost jump on it immediately.
What about Eric and Brett Weinstein?
Yeah, dude. Well,
so Eric, good.
I forget which is which, but the one that's way scientific, either he's too smart for me or he's pretending to be too smart. I can't tell, but I think he's too smart for me to understand Joe what he's saying.
Both to be on the show at the same time.
Yeah, that's going to be a good episode.
And then the other question, sorry, Bobby, because I know you don't have a horse in this race. but if you had to choose somebody that hasn't been on the show that you'd like to see on the show, who would it be?
Oh, probably like a Trump. A Trump would be great. Trump could not sit there for 8 hours or for 3 hours.
That's the thing about Joe Rogan is that his formula or his key statement or like his first testament is that after 3 hours,
everybody breaks down.
Everybody breaks down, and it's not 3 hours with, you know, Trump.
Even if you're a fake person,
yeah,
your fakeness is going to break down after 45 minutes, an hour. Yeah.
What's up with Alex Jones? Isn't that, I thought they had some disagreement or something. He's like the InfoWars guy, right?
Yeah. They're good buddies from way back. And, you know, Alex Jones got sued for the whole Sandy Hook thing. And I believe he had to pay some money or whatever about saying that it was fake. And, but Joe, you know, Joe makes the same point over and over and over to defend his friendship with Alex, that Alex is right about 60 to 80% of the time. Like, he's a conspiracy theory guy. But then after 3 or 4 years of this crazy shit he's talking about, then almost everything's substantiated. It sounds crazy at the time, especially the way he says it, because he's such a, like a, you know, rah, 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 like, oh my God, these guys are doing this and that. And it sounds crazy when he's saying it. And then 2 or 3 years pass and then almost all of it comes to light, which is, you know, it's nuts. It's nuts that that's true, but it is true. Like, they go through it, especially this last episode, every single thing that, that he said, Joe over and over, dude, like it was almost a bad podcast because of it. They were like, all right, stop right there. Stop talking. Let's substantiate what you just said. And then Jamie would fucking look it up and then they would substantiate it. And over and over and over and over, it was right. And it's fucking crazy because the way he says things sounds so crazy and bombastic.
Well, what is he saying?
Listen that
there's, for example, there's a globalist elite that want to control the human race to the point where we become symbiotic with AI and machines and want to restrict human freedom. That's his main thing
that he's pushing over and over. And I roll my eyes every time I hear it. But the little stories under that point towards that he brings up and are substantiated. So it's interesting, at the very least.
Okay. But not Sandy Hook. I guess he wasn't right about that one.
So the reason why he got in trouble with Sandy Hook, and you know, this is something that I love looking into, not Sandy Hook or Alex Jones, is finding out the real reasons or the litigation behind what he gets in trouble for. So there's two main tenets of why he got sued. He called for violence against the parents of the children that unfortunately passed away. Okay. The second bigger issue is that he convinced his audience, as well as he himself, released personal information and identifying information of those parents of those children that passed away. And that's a big no-no in the United States of America and a lot of countries, is you can't release where people live, where people work, where people's phone numbers and stuff like that. Like, these people had people outside of their these families had people outside of their houses with Alex Jones flags and like are shouting at these people that you're a government conspiracy, you're a globalist, you're a lizard, all this stuff. You should be ashamed.
He's not that lizard, dude.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. Everything I hear about this guy is just like not good, and it just concerns me that he's given such a large platform on this show. And you know,
it's not as bad as you think. Like, if you listen to this episode, you'll be like,
he's encouraging people to like go to the victims, like people who had their kids killed in a school, and like harass them. I mean,
that's it's pretty bad. Bad. It's dude. Pretty bad, dude. It's yeah. pretty
that specifically is
okay. That's alone is like bad enough, dude. I don't give it. Like if anybody did that, I'd be like, dude, I literally don't care anything else that you say. Like that you kind of blew it,
but he's also uncovered crazy conspiracies here's way thing, ahead dude. Of time.
This is kind of my thought, and I don't know enough about this to really argue it, but like Dwight is saying in chat here, he makes like a 100 million predictions and then circles or bullseyes the three that come true. Like it's pretty, this is like the biggest grift in the universe is like, if you're like a fortune teller or something, like cold reading and like all that shit, it's not hard to make it sound like you know what you're talking about as far as predictions.
Like Nostradamus just never stopped talking and eventually.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know, but I mean, like a lot of people do that. They just spit off a whole bunch of shit, and then when something comes true, everybody believes them. You know, it's just.
Here's the thing, Bobby. Like, I know where you're coming from, right? And I know where Emilio's coming from.
I'm not an Alex Jones fan.
No. I don't think
like
that.
When he's on the Rogan podcast.
Well, didn't he get caught up in some scam too? Like his business was like. It was basically he was like trying to make money by shysting a bunch of people or like selling like.
Supplements,
yeah, the supplement thing, yeah, that thing. Yeah.
I don't remember that.
So this guy's bad, like he's all bad.
Just and listen to this episode.
That he's continually on.
Listen to this episode and say what.
I don't know, dude. I'm like tired of giving people like this a time of day, dude. Like I don't. I know that sounds like ignorant, like to not hear somebody out, but it's just like, come on, dude. Like we got to stop giving people like this a platform.
But if he wasn't there, a lot of things wouldn't come to light that should come to light.
Like what?
So, Bobby, I got an example.
I don't have
for
specifics.
I have an example for this.
Okay.
So, Epstein, right? Happened last year. Epstein didn't kill himself, blah, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
He revealed the Epstein underage
secret island,
secret connections, islands, the people that he was involved in with, I believe, like 9 years ago or like 10 years ago.
And way no before.
Way before anyone else, and nobody listened to him. And what ended up happening is about after like 4 or 5 years after he broke the story, a writer from I believe either the New York Times or the LA Times was like, "No, you know, Alex Jones is right about one in every billion stories. Why not this one, right?" So she looks into it, finds out all the supporting information, gets a bunch of pictures of people that Alex Jones has, you know, said. Worked with Epstein or has gone to his island, and she was murdered when she was writing the story. And so the reason, like, Bobby, I understand you not wanting to give this guy the time of day, and I understand that sentiment, and I have that sentiment as well. But when he, like, unveils these crazy conspiracy theories that are actually true, I'm like, fuck, dude, like, Do you believe the crazy homeless guy smoking a crack pipe that is right about the fire down the street, or do you just keep walking and eventually burn?
It's almost like you need a guy on the fringe to bring in fringe secret stuff into the. Mm-hmm. He's almost somewhere in between. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know we're
had people listened to him about Epstein 10 years ago, way less. Fucking statutory rape would have happened.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe he was right on that thing, but also it's really tricky because things are not black and white. People are not right or wrong. A lot of times what people are doing is they're taking something that's true and they're using it for their own purpose. So, you know, I question his motivations in a lot of these things. You know, it's easy. Like, I think a lot of people think like these crazy people in power, they're orchestrating things. They're pulling the strings. But I think what's actually happening is they're just looking at the world and the chaos in it. And then they're just spinning it. They're just saying, how can I use
this
for my advantage?
That's Rogan's take on things.
Yeah.
Like, How can I use this crazy thing for my advantage? We're getting really close to becoming a political podcast. Let's keep moving.
I would say, before we get into the Joe Rogan Power Hour, like the Emilia Joe Rogan Power Hour, like the Nick 40K Power Hour, I just have one last statement about Alex Jones. Is I have pity for him. And the reason why I have pity for him is that he said something that nobody took a look into and is the reason why he's crazy. He grew up in a super abusive household where his father and grandfather were extreme conspiracy theorists.
Yeah,
and they shaped his future and his craziness by every day just spouting off insane stuff. And that's why he's crazy.
Yeah. But they also had connections that he started using, and that's how he started getting connections.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And also at the end, he said he's going to retire because he's going to kill himself if he keeps doing this. Like, he needs to relax. He's obsessed with unearthing the truth. And I really do believe that he thinks he's unearthing the truth. But anyway, Mass Effect Legendary Edition has been officially announced, Bobby. What do you think about this? So all they've really said is that, you know, high-res textures and 4K resolution, which is like in the PC Gamer article that I read, it was like you can get that through mods right now if you wanted to. Like, that's not that much. But usually when you do a giant overhaul like this, you get a little Easter egg here and there, a little side mission that maybe didn't get full fleshed out, stuff like that. Is this something you're going to be playing, Bob?
I don't know, man. So when I played Mass Effect, I played 1, 2, and 3 all the way through back to back over a summer. Like, and it was a great experience. It was like probably the best experience you could have with Mass Effect.
Really quick though. Mm-hmm. Had you already played like 1 and 2 separately?
No,
and
then, okay. I'd never played them before.
Oh.
So
that's the way to do it.
Yeah, it was great, man. And like, I can't imagine having a better experience than that. I can't imagine going back, even though it's remastered, it's probably got better graphics, a few more things added, bells and whistles, whatever. Like, going back and having any better of an experience.
3 years ago you did that?
Maybe like 5. Yeah. It was like right around the time when we started the podcast.
Yeah.
It was probably like 2015, 2014. It was a while ago. But I don't know. For that reason, I mean, I'm probably going to pass on this. Just because, like, I've been there, I've done it all.
What would it take? What would have to be on the back of the box for you to be like, ooh,
I don't know.
Nude mod.
See, that's the other thing too. Like, I played Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3 pretty far after they had come out and peaked in popularity. So I wasn't really part of that whole, like, I didn't experience when everyone else was. I'm not like super emotional about that game, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I think it's a great game and I think they do a lot of really cool things in it. And like the whole space opera and like the Reapers, like, I love a lot of that stuff and like the iconography. It's great, but I'm not like sentimental about Mass Effect at all.
Nick, are you gonna pick this up?
I gotta agree with Bobby. You know, I played 2 and 3 back to back. I think the only thing that would get me to play it again was if a lot of quality of life improvements were added.
Yeah, for sure.
My number one example, right, is Mass Effect 1 elevators. The elevators in Mass Effect.
You have to wait. Don't you have to wait?
You have to wait the whole thing.
The whole travel
screen. But the thing is, the animation has a minimum fucking runtime. And if you have an NVMe 2 solid state drive and you load it in half a second, but the fucking animation is 18 seconds, my life is being wasted.
I'm waiting for that sound effect. Oh, here it is. Yep. Yeah. You know who did elevator animations perfectly, I thought, was Wolfenstein. What was the last one with the two girls? Not yep. Old Blood, not Young Blood. Yeah, I knew there was blood in it somewhere. Yeah. So they had, when you got into the elevators or like these little rooms that you would then transfer to a new area. You know, they would obviously load the map in the background, but what you saw was the two girls standing in the elevator, and they would kind of be playing with each other, and they'd do different things at different times. And it was kind of, you know, it was amusing. It worked. It got a little repetitive, but it totally worked.
Did you see that article in regards to loading screens being hidden through animations and stuff? And it's like 2019, 2022, the years of squeezing through things.
Oh, no, I would love to read that article, though, because it is, there has been a history, a development of like loading screens, and they've gotten very creative in the way that they hide them. But yeah, a lot of them do boil it down to like you squeezing through an area, or, you know, the camera going locked and you just following the character as they do something.
Yeah. And unfortunately, the reason, you know, I shouldn't say unfortunately, or I shouldn't say the reasons being is, the aspect and the view I see it from is that developers don't want loading screens, because loading screens means 2004 Spider-Man, mm-hmm. you know?
It's always a clunky part of the game to just sit.
Yeah.
It takes you out of the game, first of all. And then second of all, it's boring because you're sitting there and waiting. God, what did I play that just had obnoxious loading screens? I don't know. I can't remember. I was playing something recently where I was like, really? Kurd the Ape says he wants a documentary about loading screens. Me too, man. That sounds like a Ken Burns documentary to me.
you know, Bobby, speaking of documentaries, I know you love them. Do you have HBO Now or HBO Max, whatever the fuck it's called now?
My girlfriend's parents do. So I could make that happen. Yeah. I have access to it. I just actually watched a documentary on HBO called Showbiz Kids. It's by Alex Winter. He's Bill from Bill and Ted. He's, you know, a lot of people think he just disappeared. He's actually been making documentaries the whole time. Really good one called Downloaded that came out about 6 years ago about Napster. He also did one on the dark web. And then this is his newest one called Showbiz Kids about child stars. But that's on HBO. But yeah, is there one that you saw on HBO that's good?
So it's not one, but I think this is something that you'd be interested. So there's no like overarching name for all of these, but what me and Leslie have been referencing them as is called The Generational Show. And it's a docuseries that covers every decade from 1950 to now. And every decade has an episode about a certain aspect of society. So there's a 1950s music episode. There's a 1960s music episode. There's a 1970s music episode. And each one's like 45 minutes to an hour and a half long. And there's at least there's 6 to 10 episodes for each generation. So like, for example, we go from like science and development from 1970 to the early 2000s of the science and development episode stop being science and development to internet and technology. And so it's an amazing documentary series.
It's all done by the same people.
It's all the same people. I got to figure out who is the producer, but it's a big name. It's a big name actor that did the whole thing. And like just the 90s music one, me and Leslie were just like, this is the shit. Like we, that's what we started with. And we quickly watched all the music ones for each generation, and then we watched all the TV ones for each generation, and then we watched all the movie ones for each generation, and it's extremely captivating. We had to stop.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Kind of like a serious version of I Love the 80s. Remember when VH1 ran all those?
That's exactly what it is. It's a serious take on those things.
Dude, I asked my mom. So my mom's 83. I was like, "Hey, mom, what is the best decade, like to your knowledge?" And she said, "The 50s, because it seemed like everybody was happy and we had everything going. Everything was good.
It seemed like it was, but yeah, it seemed like. But it how was. Old was she? She was probably in her teens.
Yeah, she was in her teens.
Yeah, dude. Like my best decade is the 90s because I was like, you know, like 13. But yeah, dude, the 50s were super repressed." Oh yeah. My God, dude.
But
Tom Hanks, sorry to interject, but Tom Hanks is the producer of the show.
Very cool.
Ooh, where producer. Are you getting these? Where are they?
HBO Max. HBO. Okay. You missed the beginning of the conversation, but it's on HBO Max, and you can't type in the and then the number 90. It won't show up. It's the and then the word 90s and the 80s. And so okay. It's a little funky to get to, but like I was explaining to Bobby, each generation has 6 to 10 episodes. Unfortunately, the earlier generations have less episodes, but the reason being is that there's new topics to talk about. Like in the 80s, there is an added episode about terrorism right. and how, and like global conflicts. And so it's very interesting.
That sounds really good, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep going down my list.
Still going down that list. It's not that long.
It's not that long, dude. It's not that long. I got some hardware, fellas. I got the Nest Hello. That is the doorbell ringy thingy with the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, mostly we got it because Sam's a fucking, she's neurotic. And she always, somebody just opened the door. She'll just sit up in the middle of the night. I'm like, nobody opened the door. She's like, for sure, you know, she'll kick me in the, like mm-hmm. karate kick, dude. Not like a fucking, hey, get up. No, like karate kick and then be like, definitely 100% somebody came in. I'm like, Jocko, our dog, would be going nuts if somebody came in the door right now.
Yeah.
And she's like, nope, there's definitely somebody. So I will have to get up, Bobby, I'll have to get up and go downstairs and like, search the house.
It's like, it sounds like a horror movie.
Yeah, except for there's no monsters. So, monsters aren't real. And so, you know, it's all between this one, the Nest, and what is the other one? Ring, right? Ring is the big one.
My girlfriend has a Ring.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised how well that works.
Hey, it works fucking
she
fantastic.
She had it installed, though. Like, somebody came in and installed it for her. Did you guys do it yourself?
Oh, we did it ourselves, okay. And that's what's going on there. So I was explaining to Bobby that I punched a hole in my wall because I had to get to, there wasn't enough voltage going to our 1990s doorbell to power the Ring. Mm. So I have to change the transformer to a higher voltage transformer, but there was only a little, dude, I searched every closet. Like, I was like, how do you find this thing? You just have to go and find it. And there was this little thing sticking out of the wall. And I was like, oh, easy. I'll just do it here. And then I was like, wait, these are not all the components I need. So then I just start fucking busting up the entire, because you have to, there's no other way. I had to get past the drywall to get behind it. So eventually I just chipped away until I had enough. I pulled out the transformer, did the conversion, and then now
so you tore away that wall there?
Where you see the hole that you see?
Oh, you're talking about just the little one up there.
Yeah, the little one. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I thought you were tearing down a larger chunk and patched it up.
But the smallest silver box?
Yeah.
That's all that was visible. So I'm like, oh, I'll just pull this off the wall.
Mm-hmm.
No. Then I got to that second larger box. Nope, that's not all of it either. And I just kept fucking going. So now I have a 5x3 hole in my wall.
Yeah, it's about the size of a light switch.
Yeah, which it shouldn't be because the new ones are much smaller now. Anyway, so change the voltage. Now the Ring's working. There was no way we were going to go with the Ring because we're all Googled out here at the house.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Google visual tablets. We have the whatever they're called. I forget what they're called. But, like, you know, we watch music videos on them. We listen to music on them. It's our smart devices, and we have them throughout the house.
Yeah.
And so I watched a bunch of videos, and they're like, yeah, if you have Google already, they work so much better on Google. So anyway, I was really worried about the camera angle and stuff. That's not... It's such a wide lens.
Super wide. Yeah. Super wide.
That
yeah.
If anything goes on anywhere near your door, you're going to know about it. You're going to get a notification on your phone, on my watch, on my earbuds. I'm going to get to that. And yeah, I mean, I would recommend it. If you have like a house, for sure. Even an apartment, like, you know, it tells you when deliveries are being delivered the very first day. You know, I'm getting way too many notifications because people are walking in and out.
Yeah. Well, I know on the Ring you can set a threshold for that so it doesn't pick up as much, and you can set zones and things.
I set up facial recognition on day one, and so now it recognizes me, Sam, and our babysitter. So I won't get a notification for those people. So that's nice. And so, you know, you could just keep extrapolating that to every person that's, you know, you trust, basically.
Yeah.
If you have a shady, like if Nick was on there, I wouldn't say trusted person. I'd be like, you know, this person's after our baby for sure. And so, you know, I'd put that up. Another thing that's nice, it detects motion and it starts the capturing from there. Mm-hmm. So if, you know, a sneaky dude is coming around, sees the Ring and just walks away, we're going to know about it.
Yeah. Starts recording.
Yeah, it starts recording.
Yeah, and you can pull that up on any of your, like, Google Homes. Like, you got the big Google Homes with the screens or your phones or whatever.
Yeah, and so now that all pops up. So if you were to go outside and ring our doorbell right now, two home screens would show who you are right away. All our phones would be notified, and my watch, like, everything that I have on, like, I'm all fucking technologied out at this, mm-hmm. at this point. And I would know somebody's here, whether you ring it or not. And so that's pretty cool. And then you could talk to the person, all that stuff. And I just installed it today. Maybe in 2 weeks I'll do a update. If it's terrible, I'll let you guys know. If it's good, you probably won't hear it again about it.
Yeah, now these things, I was really impressed how far these things had come. You know, I hear the advertisements for Ring on a lot of podcasts, so I've known about them for a while, but I think my girlfriend got hers a year ago, maybe less than a year ago, but she's had it for a while and it's been working out great, you know, especially for her. She, you know, she lives alone and it's kind of, she worries about that stuff.
Yeah. She got to protect all those subscriptions you have.
Yeah. Yep, all those streaming service subscriptions.
Another piece of hardware I picked up was the Samsung Earbuds Live. I had last year's generation of earbuds, never really fit in my ear. Tried all the different sizes of, you know, intrusive ear canal penetrative gadgets, and it just never really felt right. But I read. You know, I do my research when it comes to tech. I really, you know, dig into all the, I have my people that I trust and stuff, especially like Marques Brownlee and, you know, Unboxing Therapy. And these earbuds are so incredibly comfortable. Like almost every earbud has some sort of protrusion that goes down your ear canal. It's almost like guaranteed, right? You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
You know what? My Bose sports earbuds, those ones are not like that. They got the thing that kind of clips into the upper part of the ear.
That's what this is. Can you click on the link that I provided?
That was like a weird spam link. It looked like.
I think it downloaded a virus on my computer and it asked for my age. So.
Oh, weird, dude. I had done the actual Samsung link. But yeah, they look like little beans. And at the top of the lima bean, there's this like little T shape. I don't know if you can get to the back of it. There you go. That T shape locks into the top of your ear. So all of the pressure that you usually feel in your ear canal mm-hmm. is alleviated. Yeah. And you don't feel the top of your ear because I don't think you have...
Yeah, it doesn't plug your ears, which is really nice.
Yeah.
It's a minor...
And it has noise cancellation, active noise cancellation. I've definitely had better audio in my ear. Like, they don't sound like my computer. Like, you're not going to be blown away.
Are they light on the bass?
No. As far as, like, the sound itself, it's fine for earbuds. It's good mm-hmm. for earbuds. But, you know, you're not going to be swept away by the music. There are these little tiny beans, you know, but everything else is pretty great. You can listen to active sound for about 3 hours. You got to put them back in their case for 10 minutes, and then you get another 3 hours. And you could probably do that twice before the case is out of juice. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's when they say 15 hours listen time, that's what they mean. That you have to, like, recharge them.
Yeah, yeah. These are $250.
The ones I got were $139.
Okay.
So maybe there's different versions. But they, by far, are the most comfortable earbuds I've ever had. And the sound is fine. The touch controls are great. Don't have a... I just hope I don't lose them, basically.
I've been using this pair of like $20 Bluetooth earbuds. This is before they started doing like the split ones, like the AirPods made that super popular. So it actually has like a band that connects the two of them, and it's super annoying.
Yeah.
But they're like $20. And I went into work the other day. I go in about once a week now. But I'm working from home other than that. But I went in and it looked like they had been left alone for so long that they dried up and started. These things are years old too. Mm-hmm. So they've cracked and they're probably not going to be usable anymore. So I'm in the market for new earbuds and I do want something wireless. I've been looking at the ones they're advertising on a lot of podcasts. Raycons? I think they're called Raycons.
I don't know about them.
Yeah.
Dude, but as far as comfort, you're not going to get better than this. There's no way. It doesn't go down your ear canal, man. They're fucking great.
Well, I think a lot of them are doing that. Like I told you, the Bose ones I have do that, but those are wired. Mm. Yeah, those are the Raycons right there. They're like cheap compared to a lot of the other options.
$100.
Yeah, there's a cheaper pair.
And I paid $130.
You go on any podcast, you type in, you get them for like even cheaper. So,
and the other thing too is like, if I had them right here in my hand, I'd be like, "Hey, Bobby, try these out." Because they don't go down your ear canal, there's not wax and fucking dead bugs on it and shit.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole ear plugging thing is super annoying. So,
yeah.
It'd be nice to not have to deal with that. Yeah. And I would love to have a wireless pair that I can use in my normal computer. Like, so I don't have to, because I've got a cable that runs to my mic and sometimes that gets in the way. All right. One last thing on your list. You want to knock that off?
I guess. And then I won't talk again. No, I'm going to keep that, dude.
All right.
You guys go. Now you guys have the long list.
I've got two more things to talk about. I'll talk about this one and we'll skip to Nick. Have you ever used Duolingo?
I forget what it is.
It's like Rosetta Stone. It's a little application on your phone or your computer that helps you learn another language.
Mm-hmm. No.
It is. I've used a lot of Rosetta Stone back in the day, maybe like 10 years ago. I really got into that. Duolingo, I'm very well aware of. I know teachers that use this in their classes. I thought I'd check it out because I'm really getting into trying to learn French again. I took it in high school. I have like a base understanding. I know how to like conjugate and do some things in French. I can read some of it.
Je comprends un peu le français.
Oui, je vais à la plage. But I
très bien.
Bien or bien?
Très bien.
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 Très bien.
Bobby, your French is not good, but I'm happy you're practicing.
What about me over here? Just sitting here. I'm a freaking eggplant. What's going on?
Meanwhile, I got his omelette du fromage, thanks to Dexter's Laboratory.
Omelette du fromage, yep, great app. But I was really impressed at this program. Like, it takes all those things that you hate about video games because they're so manipulative, and it uses all of that. It's got like
to make you learn.
Yeah, to make you learn. It has like the bubbly, friendly, rounded edge pictures. It has, it's got like. All these weird little currencies. It's like, boom, you earn 10 XP and 4 lingots and 2 gems. I'm like, great. Don't know what the hell any of that is. And it's like, did you want to do this for like, it's got like all these little things in it.
That's great.
Yeah, it's good. And it's really effective. And the way that it does, the way that it teaches you is way more interactive than Rosetta Stone. That was like basically flashcards. Yeah. And you see a lot of the same stuff.
Un homme et un chat.
A man and a cat. But that... it does things like this where it reads you something and then you type it out in English. You sometimes have to like actually type it out, or sometimes you pick the words. Sometimes you have to speak to it. So it's really covering like all the bases here. And it's got different sections, like people travel and like different levels of that. But here's the cool thing though. Like it's got straight up like stories that you can read. And then it asks you, this is like what you did in like school where you'd comprehension learning, where you read a story and then you get asked questions to see if you understood the story, not just, you know, like breeze through it and understood it on a surface level. So like you read a story and then it'll ask you like a few little questions about it. Like it's a really good program, and it is free, but they have a paid version. It's like, I don't know, $9 a month if you pay for a year in advance, otherwise like 12, $13 a month, which is kind of expensive.
Did you pay for it?
No, I have not. Of course not. But if you don't...
What do you get at? Like, what's the difference?
No ads, which in between like these little like 3 to 5 minute sessions, there'll be like a 30-second ad. Mm-hmm. And it does get a little annoying after a while, but I can deal with it. And you actually have hearts, dude. You have like a health bar. So if you go through these things and
you're buying extra lives?
Yeah, basically.
Wow.
But if you don't have that, then you can just go practice. You take like a little practice quiz and you can earn a heart, and then it'll say, hey, you want to watch an ad for another heart? Yeah, sure. Okay. So you can take these kind of detours and they've like gamified it. And I'm usually like really harsh whenever they try to take like learning and gamify it, because a lot of that stuff is super useless and misses the point, but they've done a really good job here.
Chris, don't remember can you bring up like the most popular ones? Like what are the other ones besides Rosetta Stone and this one Duolingo? What are the other popular language? Yeah, exactly. Apps or whatever.
Forced learning through the
Babel. Military. I'm pretty sure it's Babel.
Babel Fish was what it was originally called.
Wasn't that the one where Google was trying to
go back? That's not it. Go back a couple. Give me that list again. Okay. That's right. Oh, I need to see that list.
Wasn't Babel like Google's software for translating?
It's what Google bought to start.
They bought it.
Okay. I think it's Babel. Anyway. So, Mila's dad, who's also named Emilio.
Mm-hmm.
Ironic. And our mothers have the same birthday, and we both go by Emilio, which is our middle names.
No.
Yeah, super weird, dude. But anyway, he's like, oh, yeah, I've been studying French and I know French now. And I'm like, yeah, right, dude. And then Sam's like step aunt or whatever came over that used to speak French.
Mm-hmm.
And they start going back and forth. And I was like, what the fuck just happened, dude? And he's like, I've been learning online with Babbel. I was like, I was so impressed. I walked away. That's how impressed I was. Wow. I was like, what the fuck just happened? Yeah, it was really impressive. So I don't know if he's just good with language or if Babbel's really good.
On an episode maybe 4 months ago, you said you were going to learn Filipino. Did you end up?
How dare you, first of all. It's not Filipino.
It's Tagalog.
Sorry.
You're talking about me?
Yeah, you. Yeah, you said that.
No, I didn't. If I did, it was in jest, sir. I said it in jest, sir.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, he's going crazy, dude.
No. I trust the guy who listens to all the episodes rather than the guy who sits there drinking and peeing.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Sniper on this one. I'm pretty sure you said it.
All right, fine. Let's move on.
All right. All right, Nick, what you got?
You're not going to take my expert opinion of being forcefully learned a language on this? Really?
You are forcefully.
Well, how did teach you in the military? Like, how did you learn?
To say, because Nick's not going to put it the right way, I feel like. He didn't learn a language. He learned the level of learning the language wasn't just paltry. It's next level shit. Like, he has to learn it to the level of a commoner or somebody that grew up there.
Yeah, which I think you'd have to be put in put in the environment, right? Like you'd have to go there and like deal with those people to understand.
But then once you do that, you're compromised as a spy.
So I'm not going to get into too much information because it's unfortunately
stop talking. Yeah.
And hopefully that'll end by December and I'll go to San Diego. But no, as far as what they did, the military tries to get as many of the cleared assets as they can to the United States to teach our military and our contractors. And Emilio hit the nail on the head. I don't learn a language. I didn't learn a language. I learned a culture. I know how they think. I know what they think about on a day to day. I know what they love. I know what they hate.
And Palestinians.
I know what the left hates. I know what the right hates. I know what the centrists love and hate. I know what the super religious love and hate. And it's, imagine going to class instead of having one topic. I mean, instead of having eight topics to learn in 8 hours, you have one topic for 8 hours and you learn it every day for a year. That is what they did. And no, so,
but it worked. But it worked, right? Like you're pretty fluent in that language and you understand not just the language, but the culture.
Oh yeah. No. Yeah. It worked, but it honestly aged me at least 5 years. I'm not kidding. I developed alcoholism. I slept with a lot of people to cope with pressure. It was really bad. But it was the way it was in the military was that it's a flight or fight thing, because if you fail, you're going to become a fucking cook. You're going to become a guy that swabs the deck. And so it's just insanely
pressured.
Yeah. You're in a pressure cooker the whole time. And, you know, not to put my wife on the spot, but she got all the way through her course and she was in Persian Farsi. And then she failed the final test. Like she passed the class, but she failed the final test.
Which she was probably, she probably had the skill to do it, but she probably just succumbed to the pressure.
And what it was is that she's not a good test taker. And because she failed that one test, she couldn't do the job. And so they gave her a new job, made her sign a new contract. And so instead of being like, oh, I got 10 hearts because I guessed the word for cheese right in French. It's like, you're going to learn this fucking language or you're going to be serving food to fat people on a ship for 9 months straight, asshole.
Yeah.
Oof. And so
that's rough.
Stakes are high.
But what I will give Duolingo, and this is something that, you know, we learn, is Duolingo does something very, very, very important when it comes to learning a language. And that is giving you what is called the core vocabulary. So in the United States, we have an average vocabulary of 525 words. Those are the number one used words are like you, at, there, me, you, restaurant. Like those are the words we use, right? And Duolingo focuses on those words in whatever country you
are. So you can get by. Whatever language.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you get by. And every now and then they'll throw in a word. They'll be like mitochondria. And it'll be whatever that word is in whatever language. And that is how they get you to learn the language.
But so that's a good way to do it for like somebody like Bobby or myself trying to pick up another language and not trying to get our brains washed, but like you did.
Yeah.
Like, how would one say talking with your friend on the internet for money? How would you say that?
Are you talking about, are you asking me to say that in Hebrew?
Yeah, please.
Do you want me to say in past tense? Like if I'm talking to someone and be like, hey, yesterday I was on a podcast.
Yeah, there you go.
So, etmol ani, etmol dibarti im bat dod vegam et haver shelo veanachnu dibarnu al misake video. So what I said was, yesterday I talked to my uncle and his good friend and we talked about video games on a podcast.
But somehow video came up last. That was interesting.
So that's the thing about learning languages, especially ones that don't have Roman or Latin alphabets, is that syntax changes. And yeah. So Misa K video, you got video, right?
Yeah.
So video. You know that Misa, so you can guess Misa K is game or games. And so that is one thing that they teach you as well, is being able to guess words. And so the syntax is different in so many languages. Like, you think learning Tagalog is easy because it's somewhat in English. Their syntax is like cheese bread I ate yesterday, cheese bread tomorrow I will eat. Like, that's their syntax. It's crazy.
Pretty confusing.
Yeah. Pretty confusing.
Yeah. I've wondered if, like, I would benefit from, because I'm terrible with language, dude. Like, just like I can't do a dwarf accent
in D&D. Scottish accent. So you can do a dwarf accent.
And I was pretty bad at it. But still,
no, it's fantastic.
Like, when I speak another language, you have to, like, talk in their accent. And that's, like, really tough for me because I immediately get embarrassed.
On my little couch over here, I was like the Miramax guy getting blown away by your Scottish accent. Because I've never seen you go out of character.
The only thing I could, like, if I think Scottish accent, then I just think of, like, a Sean Connery impression.
There you go.
Like, that's pretty much
that's it. That'll
that's
work.
That's not really speaking in another.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, that's just doing an impression. But yeah, so I mean, I wonder if I would benefit from, like, more of, like, a formal education. Like, if I took a classic college, I took what did I take? Sign language in college, because I was like, this will be easier. You don't have to read or write it, but it ended up being a lot more difficult than I had anticipated.
What stuck, Bobby?
The thing about sign language, well, it's different in every country, but it's super easy.
No, it all came together. They got together and they
just had a big old powwow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Earth.
I can still do my name, like B-O-B-B-Y. But the thing about sign language, it's super easy. You.
Yeah.
Me. It's just
what
like.
What are we going to do? Wait, hold on. I'm getting super excited.
Yeah. What was, I mean, the first thing they teach you is like, hi. My name, like me, yeah. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, yeah. You know, and then nice to meet you is, I can't, something like that. I could be doing a very foul gesture here. I'm not sure, but it's something with the two hands coming together.
It's like you're about to cast a fireball, dude.
Yeah. But I remember very little because it was so long ago, but, yeah, I don't know. We'll see how it goes with this. I'm also doing Spanish, but not nearly as much. Like, that's, of course, I grew up in San Diego. That's what, like, I should have been learning the whole time. But I don't know. I've always liked the French.
Bobby, what I will say is do not be embarrassed by your accent. You can ask Amelia, when I speak Spanish, I sound all right. But when I speak Hebrew, I also sound all right. But if I speak to an actual Israeli person, I sound like, hello, how's it going? Like, it's terrible. You will never be as bad as a girl I know from Louisiana with a thick Creole accent speaking Hebrew. She's like, shalom, Havarim. I'm at the Bear Ivory. And we were dying, dude.
Yeah, that's what I do when I try to bug my girlfriend, is I do like the southern... because she understands a lot of Spanish, but I'll be like, you know, Pilar, necesito palomitas, por favor, mucho manicilla.
I swear we
if
were.
That, dude, if that's not your paladin fucking, if that's not your paladin voice next week, I quit the podcast. I'm quitting everything. I need that in my life. Oh, my God, that's so good. Necesito palomitas. That means popcorn, guys. Oh, my God.
It's like hearing, what's his name, Bobby Lee Jones speaking Spanish in No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
Like, the same.
You know what the best one is if you guys ever watched that Will Ferrell movie where it's a straight up like novella, like,
I
can't remember what it's called.
Casa de mi Padre.
Yeah. That's the one. Yeah. And, the guy from Parks and Rec is in it. The guy with the mustache is always very grim, and he's like a DEA officer. And he speaks Spanish like that, and it's just so deadpan and so funny.
Palomitas.
All right, Nick, what you got?
Yeah.
So we spoke earlier about documentaries, and this is something I recently added to my list, and I hate to take so much time. But have either of you heard of the Ahoy YouTube channel?
No. Can't be writing shit in as the show is going, dude. We'll never get done.
I should have just lied. You know, I've been trying to kick that, but what Ahoy is a video game documentary series. And he has a great structure, great visuals, and he primarily talks about weapons like the Tommy gun or the P90. And he explains how they were, you know, shown in different video games throughout history. But for example, he has a 50-minute documentary, 3.3 million views about Doom. Mm. Or he has one with 2.4 million views about Quake.
Oh, I have heard of this.
Yeah.
Somebody told me about this. Maybe it was you.
I give him a big shout out. And if you guys need something to just even
put on the back. He doesn't need one, dude, with those numbers.
What?
I said he doesn't need one with those numbers. But yeah, that's cool, man. What else?
Like, there's one about Polybus. Have you guys ever heard of Polybus?
No.
Yeah, that's the game that there was like a urban legend about it back in what, like the 80s. It's an arcade game that supposedly the government installed to, I can't remember
to create sleeper cells to be used in the Cold War.
Yeah. To like hypnotize kids who were playing it. And yeah, someone recommended a show that was kind of like Twilight Zone-y ish. It was on Hulu and they had an episode about this, but yeah, it's kind of an urban legend, this Polybus game.
Hmm. Yeah. But this guy makes great content. And like I said, I know Bobby likes documentaries and Amelia, you like putting shit on in the background as you hammer nails. This is definitely something great to put on.
Nice.
Cool.
I like the way he's using like pastels. I like his artwork. Yeah. What else you got? I want to hear your take on Train to Busan. It's like I said, top three zombie movies, I think.
I loved it. I think it was a great movie.
Did you watch it because you heard Bobby talking about it?
Exactly. I wanted to get a topic where I used the previous podcast on what I would do that week, because usually I go, hey, this podcast suggests this, I'll watch it. Yeah. I mean, I watch a lot of podcasts. And Train to Busan was the thing I watched from your guys' podcast, and I watched it with Leslie. Great movie.
Yeah.
How do I say this without sounding like a fucking maniac? The Korean dark comedy that exists in this world is my whole personality. Like in Parasite, yeah. Like just the fucking joke where the guy gets the rock thrown at his head and he falls down the stairs. Like, mm-hmm. I was cracking up. Meanwhile, everybody in the fucking movie theater was like, oh my God.
And you get You get the Korean comedy.
Oh yeah, definitely. Have you guys seen the second one?
Peninsula. No, I have not. That came out very recent and we were talking about it a little bit and I didn't hear great things. I don't think it was as good as the first.
Sam keeps bringing up hashtag alive.
That's the one that everybody's saying to watch, yeah. Is hashtag alive. So
on Netflix. Ooh, do we have our next movie on the DL, Bobby? I haven't seen it.
We're already doing 1917.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah.
What are we doing that?
Why are you saying we, dude? Did you just hire yourself? What's going on here?
I thought it was a watch party.
This is a trial basis, dude.
It would be nice if we could work out a watch party for that. But yeah, we're probably going to record that next week, maybe. No, it's going to have to be the week after. We got a lot going on next week.
We got a night. Woo.
Yeah. Yeah. But it is a great movie, and I was really impressed by Train to Busan. And I think... I didn't bring it up when we talked about it last week and I kind of regretted it, but what makes this movie so great is the relationships between the characters in this. It's so well done. It's such good drama and it almost pushes the zombie apocalypse into the background or at least relegates it to more of a plot device. But like the relationship with the father and his daughter, you know, trying to rekindle that. And then the other couple that's going to have the baby and, you know, that guy goes out in the blaze of glory with his, what does he do? He like straps things to his arm. I don't know. Like, I just thought it was very emotional and it was very, dramatic. And usually zombie movies are just kind of like, they pull the easy strings, right?
Yeah.
You know, and we've seen them all before, but this
shock
one,
shock value and all that stuff.
This one felt very mature in a lot of ways, and I thought it was fantastic. And, you know, 2016, man, like, and you make a good zombie movie, that's impressive because...
It's all been done.
Yeah, it's all been done. Like, it's a really played out genre.
Yeah, good shit. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. But hashtag alive, maybe that'll be our next one after 1917.
I'll have to look that one up because I'm not familiar with that one.
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
Sam saw it. She said it was really good.
Is it Train to Busan hashtag alive?
Like no. It's just
called... It's a different series. It's a different series.
By the same guy, I feel like.
Okay, but it's not related or a sequel or anything.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I believe the guy who directed Parasite is an executive producer for hashtag alive.
Oh, that guy's going to be getting executive producer for everything that comes out of South Korea for the next 10 years. He's getting money, son.
All right, let me talk about some movies, I guess, that I watched this. Well, I finished it this week. I finished the Nightmare on Elm Street series this week. I'd started watching them a while ago, but I finally finished it this week. I've seen a lot of these before, bits and pieces, but some of them were brand new. First time seeing the remake from 2010, I heard it was really bad, and a lot of people complained about the fact that they made Freddy a child molester and not a child murderer. Mm. And I was like, you know what? You know, that could be done well. We'll see. I'll check it out. And I mean, yeah, that was the least of its problems. It was just not a good movie, man.
I like the concept, actually. And what's more horrifying? A dead kid or like a
monster? Yeah, that's what
kid.
I thought, too. I was like, you could totally do that. But, you know, here's the thing with the whole... the whole bunch of Freddy movies.
Wait, hold on. Let me clarify. I don't like either one of those concepts. Conceptually, in movie dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a disclaimer there.
Yeah.
But okay, so here's the idea with Nightmare on Elm Street. And this will probably strike you a bit odd, as it did me. The whole thing is, there was a guy... All right, let's go way back to where the story really begins, and they cover it throughout.
The name Freddy comes from Frederick.
Okay, so there's a nun in an insane asylum. She gets lost in there, and they forget about her. She gets raped by 100 maniacs repeatedly, and then she finally gets found, and she has a baby, and that baby's name is Freddy. And so he's also called the son of 100 maniacs. Oof. Which is kind of weird because it's like, that's not really how getting pregnant works. Yeah. You know, it's usually like, you know, it can be multiple partners, but there's like one sperm going in the egg. They're all his dad.
And it was probably Freddy Sr.
Yeah. And when they do part of a flashback in one of those, you do see an inmate, and it's Robert Englund, the guy who plays Freddy. So we can assume that's him.
Okay.
So anyway, obviously this kid is messed up. He grows up. He's got a lot of problems because he's got the DNA of 100 maniacs in him somehow. Right. And he murders 20 to 30 kids. 20 to 30 is what they say in the movie, repeatedly. They catch him. He gets off on a technicality. He murders 20 to 30 kids, and they're just like, well, you know, Officer O'Hara fucked up the fingerprint, so I guess we got to let him go. Like, what? So, yeah, he gets
off. They didn't read him his Miranda rights, dude.
Yeah, so. Dude. They just messed it up, and he's let go. And so the parents are like, nope. And then they go over, and they kill him in the boiler room, and they burn him to death. They set on fire the place where he lives. He dies in the boiler room, which is why he has all these hideous scars.
Right.
So that's like the origin story of Freddy, right? Like that's what you come to learn through all this, which is just ridiculous, you know? But the cool thing about these movies is what sets them apart from the other slasher movies of the 80s is that he comes back to haunt the kids in their dreams and kills them in the dreams.
Yeah.
Now, because you can do that, you can be very creative with the kills because it's a dream. Anything can happen, right? So, you know, you got a lot of famous death scenes like in Dream Warriors, the third one. It's prime time, bitch. And he like pops out of a TV. He's like half TV, half man, and like smashes the girl's head into it. So you get all these like weird creative special effect or effects driven things.
But also on the flip side, it gives the terror-y some power, right? Because if their confidence is high enough, they can defend themselves, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they have some agency in their own dreams.
Yeah. But, you know, this, it runs into the same problem all the other horror movies do. It's just like they bring him back over and over again. And by like the fifth one, they don't even bother like, oh, well, you messed this up or this loophole is how we got back this time. They're just like, eh, he's back. Let's get to it. But my favorite out of all these movies still is New Nightmare. And remember when I was talking about...
Where is that in the chronology?
So you got Fred or Nightmare on Elm Street 1 through 5.
Jesus.
And then yeah, there's not as many as the other ones. No, there's some other good. The first one's still the best one. Everyone will tell you Dream Warriors, the third one is the second best, but I don't know, man. I like New Nightmare. But you got 1 through 5, the final nightmare where, oh, and then Freddy's dead. Yeah, the final nightmare where they're just like, nope, we're killing him off. And then New Nightmare, I saw this on TV, I remember, and I liked it back then, still like it now. This one comes out after all the Freddy movies are done, and it's not about Freddy, dude. It's about the actors that play it. So they're calling each other by their real names, like Heather Langenkamp and Robert Englund. It's about the actors that, and somehow Freddy has escaped the movies and is coming after them.
So good.
It is, and it's like, remember when I talked about Halloween?
Yeah, that's an amazing concept.
It's a great concept, and it executes really well. And this is Wes Craven. The movie he makes shortly after this is Scream. And remember when I talked about Halloween 2 being that stepping stone for Rob Zombie from like his Splatterhouse core to like this more artistic style? This is the step. I watched this again. I'm like, I totally see how he got to Scream from here. Like, it's totally playing with the genre, like playing with like the genre of horror that we all know and the rule set, but also kind of like elevating and looking in on it and like just doing some really interesting stuff. Like, it's playing by the rules, but also like commenting on it. So I don't know. I still like New Nightmare. That's my favorite one. And then and then Freddy vs. Jason. That's just a good time, man. That one's fun, but it's
you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I didn't watch it this time because I watched it a couple months ago and I was going through the Jason movies, but I saw that one in the theater, man. It's just, it's ridiculous, but yeah, it's fun.
Why do they fight each other?
You know, why not? It's just, I think the plot of the story is that they, the kids are stalked by Jason and then they go to Freddy to try to pit him against Jason to save them. So it ends up being like, I think that's what happens. It ends up being like this big bloodbath where everybody's getting murdered. And yeah, it's
like, you killed the kids I wanted to kill. Okay, we fight now.
Yeah, they got that's a good one. I like that one. But New Nightmare, still my favorite out of the series. And it's a shorter series compared to the other ones. But I couldn't get over that origin story, because they kind of explain a little bit of it in the first one. And then like throughout the other ones, they kind of get more into the background. And
well, in Twins, they were all made from a bunch of like super genetic sperm, but somehow the machines mix it up. And Danny DeVito was all the bad sides. And
I always think about that movie. Like, how did they pitch that to DeVito? We got this story about twins, and one of them is every single good gene, all the good stuff put into one person. That's going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger. Then all the terrible stuff, all the worst possible genes, the leftover, just the garbage, and that's you.
Because he has
15 mil on top of it.
He has a fucking sense of humor about himself. He knows that he looks like a troll.
He gets it. He's so funny. He does a lot of stuff on the producer side. There are movies that got made just because of Danny DeVito, and I can't remember any off the top of my head, but they're big movies that would never have gotten made, but he saw the script or he liked the project and he was like, yep, let's do this. But and
it the ones that get made, dude, is like Ugly Girl 1, Ugly Girl 2, Fat Girl 4. Like, those are in the script. That's how it's written. And somebody has to come in and fucking be Fat Girl 4 and know that about themselves when they sign the fucking dotted line.
Yeah.
That's fucked up. But
Amelia, have you ever heard of the guy that always plays a cholo named Hector?
No.
He's in IMDb and he has over, I believe, 13 credits. Playing a cholo named Hector.
That's how fucking Trujillo started. Like, he was always the bad guy that everybody killed, and then next thing you know, he's Machete. He saved some kid out of a burning fucking van the other day, by the way.
Really? Yeah. Wow, dude. Real life hero. Dang.
Yeah. What else we got? Square loses $48 million, well, in losses for this year's earnings report, mostly due to Marvel's Avengers, which I've heard isn't that bad of a game, but they really sunk themselves when they didn't use, well, I guess this is what's going on, when they didn't use the likenesses of the actors in the movies. It was too close, I feel like, to, you know, this tremendous cinematic feat that had been pulled off. And then, you know, you make something called the Avengers and you don't use those people. Now, what would it have cost to use those likenesses and those voices? A hell of a lot less than $48 million. You know what I mean? But
yeah. And would they have to make new voice lines? Like, would they have to pay the actors?
Yeah, they'd probably have to come in.
That's going to be expensive.
Yeah, super expensive. But not $48 million. It would have been like $7 million. So I always, and I've talked about this before, I just want to be a fly on the wall at the board meeting when they make this decision. You know, we can use other fucking, I'm not saying that they were wrong. Like, I probably would have went with this. Oh, yeah. People are interested in the superheroes, not the actors that play them. But then here we are. And, you know, yeah.
I don't know. I think the game had more problems than that, though. Like, wasn't just the game itself not very good?
I don't know. Wakonius says that it's good, but that's Wakonius. And he's obsessed with Metal Gear Solid. So I don't know. But some, you know, it's somewhere around the 70. You know, it's not like, it's not a game that should have lost more money than it cost. But here we are. Anyway, I'm interested in the big decisions and how they went down and why they went down. 68, yeah. There we go.
68. It's not great, not terrible.
Yeah. Nick, Gran Turismo?
Bro, how are you not going to talk about the PS4 release in 4 days?
It's not what we do around here.
Didn't know it was happening.
Wow.
Wait, the PS4? I thought the PS5.
PS5.
Okay. I knew that much.
Buffalo Trace, dude. Leaves you without a trace.
What I will say is that, Emilio, I remember growing up, did you ever play Gran Turismo?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, big time.
Are you not going to pick up a PlayStation 5 just for this, just to play in VR?
No, man. Oh, it has VR support?
Apparently it's coming.
Ooh, no, dude. I stay away from those things.
Yeah.
You got to get away from the consoles, man. It'll happen one day. You'll see. Although, you know, there are those five titles that I want to go and play, but it's not worth going into the ecosystem to go play it.
Of course not. But let's go to listener questions.
Let's go to listener questions. Hey, you don't call the shots. You're a fucking guest, dude.
All right. Well, let's give a shout out to SMI Jeff 1224, subscribing for 12 months, 1 year.
Thanks, homie.
Way to go, man. 1 whole year we've been together. 1 year anniversary. Totally forgot.
It's only just begun.
All right. We've got a little game here that Sniper wants us to play. In honor of the election, we're going to try to pronounce these Wisconsin city names. Who wants to give this a shot?
Let's go down the line. Bobby, you want to start with that one?
All right. This one looks a little easy. I'm going to say Waukesha.
Waukesha.
Waukesha County.
What do you got? Sniper, are you ready to go?
Was he going to play the names back to us?
I guess so. I assume so.
You want the names played back? This is, yeah, I can do that.
Waukesha?
Well, are we going to do one at a time?
Well, I want to see if you're right or wrong. Is it?
Pretty sure I'm right on that one, but okay.
How about you fuck right off and we find out by a Waukesha night?
But I think the recording that he has isn't like guaranteed this is how you pronounce it.
Oh.
I think it's just some other dude on the internet trying to pronounce these.
Okay. Are you ready or not? I'm just going to go. Oconomowoc.
Oconomowoc. Oconomowoc. Hakuna Matata.
How to pronounce Wisconsin.
Oconomowoc.
Waukesha, Wisconsin.
Waukesha. See, there we go.
Okay.
Nick?
I said it. Akona Mowak.
No, the next one, dude. We're going down the list, jackass.
Ashwaubenon.
Ashwaubenon. Ashwaubenon. Schwab. Schwabenon. These are fun, dude. These are bouncy words. can we get clarification on Akonomowoc?
What's going on?
I'm trying, dude. All the things are like newscasts. I didn't have it ready, basically.
Okay. All right, but we'll keep going, and then we're gonna come back.
And we're gonna assume that we're correct 100% of the time.
So I'm up next. So Weya Yega.
Ooh. Well done, dude.
Weya Yega.
Weya Yega.
Cat Keokewana.
I feel like that one's Kwakana.
Hey, fuck right off, dude. I'm more indigenous than you are.
These sound like Hawaii. This is what I imagine Hawaiian names to sound.
Kaukauna.
Nick?
I said it. Kaukauna.
Not that. Dude, we're going down the list.
Menomone.
Menomone. That sounds right. And then Wanaki. That one's got to be Wanaki. So I think I heard Sniper playing the second one, and it sounded right.
He didn't have it.
We keep talking over it. Okonomowoc. Yeah, we were pretty close.
Yeah.
What about Ashwaubenon? Ashwaubenon.
Ashwaubenon.
I looked it up, but no one knows. There's no...
Great bit, dude. You really nailed it on this one.
Well, I thought this was actually your idea, so... Now I'm confused.
Had a good time.
Yeah, me too. Okay.
All right.
Bobby nailed them all.
I did pretty good. I can speak whatever that is, just not French. Warconius says, movies you very much liked but can't watch again. My list is Taxi Driver, Midnight Cowboy, English Patient, Requiem for a Dream, Life is Beautiful, and Schindler's List.
Yeah, sad movies.
Sad movies.
Disturbing movies.
I've seen most. Like Schindler's List, I'd totally watch again. Life is Beautiful, I've been meaning to watch. That one, very famous acceptance speech. Not the speech, but when they call the guy's name. He won Best Foreign Picture on that one. They call the guy's name, and he like steps over a bunch of seats and like walks on people's shoulders. It's like one of those famous Oscar moments. Mm. Requiem for a Dream is definitely one of those movies, though. Like, that's a very depressing movie.
Should I watch it?
I mean, it's just about a bunch of drug addicts and their lives deteriorating, and it's just like a super sad ending. It's like, I don't think you'd enjoy it that much. It is a good movie, but it's like really a punch in the gut. And yeah, I saw that like, God, maybe 15 years ago, and I've never wanted to watch that movie again. It's who's the director of that? It's one of those Fincher. Is it David Fincher that directed that? Not 100% sure, but it's one of those guys.
It sounds bad when I say like a lot of these movies are one trick ponies, but that's okay. Cause like, I don't think movies are built to be watched a ton of times. You know, they're like, people want it. They want you to enjoy it one time. And
I don't know. It depends on the movie. Like, you look at that new one that's out, Tenet, and a lot of his films, Christopher Nolan, they're very, you really do have to watch them more than once because they're so complex mechanically. Mm-hmm. I mean, he gets criticized a lot for having very little, very little emotion and feeling and that kind of stuff. And it's true, he doesn't, but they're very complex, and usually you don't get all that on the first take. There's really no way that anybody's going to get Darren Aronofsky. Thank you. That is the director of Requiem for a Dream. Aronofsky. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. I don't think I would watch Uncut Gems again.
It's easier to watch the second time, but I understand that.
Easier, but as enjoyable?
I don't know. The thrilling ride is kind of fun the first time. Yeah, but here's the thing, dude. The Safdie brothers, you could watch any of their films. It's kind of like the same thing, different story. So, yeah, don't watch Uncut Gems. Go watch, like, Good Time or one of their other movies. Go ahead, Nick.
Parasite.
You're not going to watch Parasite again?
I probably would.
See, I feel like that one benefits from a second watch.
Yeah, definitely. You'd be surprised, Nick, because I watched it a second time as well. And yeah, you start, the first time I watched it like a dunce, and then the second time I watched it with like, you know, I'm trying to analyze it, and you see so much more of what they're trying to say, as opposed to just this weird movie.
Yeah. Kurt is saying anything by Lars von Trier. I don't think I'd watch any of his movies once, honestly. I don't know. Maybe. And I have seen a few of his movies. Never liked any of them.
Liked, but can't watch again.
I've never seen The English Patient, but that... Didn't that win Best Picture? It just looked so boring. Oh, my God.
I keep saying that I'm never going to watch A New Hope again. Well, I said it a lot last year, and then I watched it again. Dude, it's three scenes, and none of them are impressive anymore, and it's just like...
I don't know, man. I still love watching that.
So I watched it... I said last year that I would never watch it again, and then I watched it again with Mila, and, you know, watching it with new eyes and all that stuff, it added to it a little bit, but it's not enjoyable.
I'm kind of like in a special group on that one, though. I'm just such like a big fan of it that like I watch it and I'm just like, you know, I know like, oh, you know, that's the one scene where Luke wore the poncho and, you know, they used all the other takes. Like, I know all the backstory and I'm like watching it, like not even as a movie anymore, but just as, you know, just like something I've seen so many times that I'm just kind of like, I don't know.
Dude, so apparently when Obi-Wan scared away the sand people, he was mimicking the sound of the crate dragon that we just watched on. Why are you laughing at me, man?
Didn't we say this next week? We had this exact conversation last week.
I don't know.
Or not next week, last week. I'm pretty sure, yeah. And then Sniper mispronounced crate.
That was before the show, though.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about it on air.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, ha! Gotcha.
It's also Krat. I'll take that to my grave.
Sorry. It's crate. But when that episode came out, I haven't seen it yet, but... you know, I follow the SWCCG Twitter account, you know, that magic, but with Star Wars, basically. Uh-huh. And they posted, the reason I know this, and of course they posted saying the exact same thing. The reason that I knew that is because there's a card in that game called Crate Dragonhound. Right. And it's got Obi-Wan coming out doing his thing. And yeah, so like I was...
Oh, so even back then...
Yeah,
it was the Crate Dragon.
Yeah, it's always, yeah.
I thought they were like retconning it.
No, it was established lore. And then there's a scene, I think, where you see like a Crate Dragon, or maybe they just like Photoshopped that for the card. But I'm telling you, dude, I learned so much about Star Wars by playing that game, like so much backstory.
Yeah. All right, we're going to wrap this bitch up.
We got one more question here. Oh. It's from Nick.
Oh, jeez.
Says, what is your luchador name and what is your special move?
El Pedo. Which means the fart. And I just fart on their face. I'd hold them down and fart in their face. So much so that they would have to pull off their mask to breathe. You know, that whole like gasping for air.
That sounds terrible.
That almost sounds like I had preloaded. I was so quick on that, dude.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I can't top that. Shit. I don't know.
Gringo speaks bad Spanish.
Oh, dude.
The popcorn.
Yeah, the El Palomita. El Palomita.
El Palomita. He pops.
He's so light on his feet. You can't get a hold of him.
Oh, my God. Pop.
Popcorn in Spanish is called Palomitas, which means little doves. How cute is that?
Really?
Yeah.
That's what it translates to?
Yeah, little doves. If you look at them, kind of.
They kind of look like old.
All right, speaking for Bobby, what are you playing next week?
Next week, God, I don't know. We'll see what happens, man. Like,
in 4 days, that fucking that big Gearbox game is coming out. I'm gonna check that out.
What was that called again?
I forget what it's called. Holiness or something like that.
Godless. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I don't know, man. We'll see what happens this week. I feel like I am reaching like a saturation point with Killing Floor 2, so definitely going to move into something else here, but not sure what yet.
Cool. You can, you've been wanting to play Hades, just play it off my account.
Good. Yeah, maybe I'll again, do that. We've talked about it so much, yeah, but that's I do want to play that.
But I want to hear your perspective. I like it when you wax poetic.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Nick, what do you got on your plate?
Minecraft with Leslie and Total War Warhammer to get all the very hard achievements.
Did they have a big update for that recently? Oh, not Warhammer. I'm sorry. Yeah. Troy.
Not Troy. I don't fuck with Troy anymore. That game's boring.
Okay.
But what the goddamn man, I want to get to something. Anyway, speaking for Nick, myself, Christopher, and me, I already said me, myself, titties, everybody. Boom. That's how much our life has changed, dude. I used to remember, motherfucking titty. Now there's fucking babies asleep upstairs. There's fucking orphans in the basement.
Yep.
Wait.
Did you just call me Christopher?
Yeah, I did.
It's better than recalling you sniper.